Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, 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 how about that? It's the best show. Bed music. You know that music. That means it's the best show, but guys, it's not the normal best show. I know some of you are right now mad because it's not live on your computer on the Tuesday night like it usually is. Well, I'm away. That's why it's not. I'm in Los Angeles. You know, Lipstick City. Out here doing my thing. So we're doing it from the amazing Earwolf Studios, which thanks to Earwolf for providing their awesome facilities to us yet again. So nice. I know we're doing the show, but you're like, okay, I can't call in. I thought I could do the worst 100 fictional characters of all time. I'll pick that back up. Don't worry. Where do you think I'm going? I bought all this equipment. I have no choice in the matter now. I'm stuck doing this show for the next 15 years just to pay off the garbage I bought. I got no choice. It's like a house. It's like people paying off a house. So yeah, don't worry. We'll get to it next week. Best shows will be back. There'll be plenty of chances. We'll do best 100, worst 100, most boring 100. So you'll be just like, well, and then we'll just end up, by the time we're done, we'll do the best of the 100 lists we did. That's how many of these things we're going to do. It's going to be 400 of them. We'll have to pick the best 100 of the best 100. Oh. And if that just doesn't sound like an invitation to new listeners, I don't know what does that. If there isn't anything that doesn't sound like we're casting as wide a net as possible and welcoming as many new people to the fold, I can't imagine how that wouldn't do that. So yes, I'm in Los Angeles. We're at Earwolf. What do you say, Tom? What's we mean? Well, we, for example, I have two guests with me tonight. I have, as always, when we do these shows from Los Angeles, you are now my co-host. I'm going to say, for these, Lisa Jane Persky. You know her. She is an actor. She's an author, a writer, a photographer. What else are you?
A toreador.
Lisa Jane Persky, thank you so much for coming down
and
doing
this. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. What's been going on?
Well, you know, people just dropping like flies, basically. We have weird weather here.
A good way or a bad way?
So Hollywood. Well, I don't know about you, but in my life it seems that people drop dead when it's 104 degrees or over. And, you know, so you're standing in, you know, the most uncomfortable circumstances trying to keep other people from falling into open graves.
Sure. Now this really...
Aren't you glad you
asked? Everyone, welcome. Welcome to the best show. If you were on the bubble, I don't know... about coming, joining the family. Now, the fact that clearly there are going to be an infinite number of these shows combined with, I don't know about you, but everyone seems to be dying thing, which unfortunately I can agree with. Who wouldn't want this in their podcasting world? Sure, you like to listen to that podcast where they say things about, I went to see Inside Out and it was great, but I didn't like Ted 2. Okay. So, put that one on ice. Enjoy. Come to this side of the street. Where it's just, this is the show that makes you appreciate what you currently have. Is what how I look at it. This is like, you look and you're just like, wow, like maybe I'm doing better than I thought I was. I got to hold on to what I got, right? Right? You know what that's like, Lisa.
Sure.
No, when you with here's
white knuckling and
yeah,
yeah.
Do people call you just Lisa?
Yes, they do.
Or do they call you? I call you LJP.
That's how we sort of the dividing line between, you know, friends from the past and friends of
okay.
now.
Uh huh. Okay.
There's the Lisa from the old days and the
sure.
But I, you know, I answer to almost anything.
Okay. Hey, you.
That seems to
lady.
Work. Yo.
Lady. And also joining us tonight, he is an actor and a writer and one of the top club comedians. Club, is that a, no, you're a
comedian-or.
A comedian-or.
A joke-or.
A joke-or, yes. A joke-or. That sounds like a company that would like, it, like, dad just got a job, he's working for joke-or.
Joke-or.
And it's like, yeah, joke-or apparently, it's out of business. It's,
they provide huge three-ring notebooks full of one-liners from morning DJs. Every month you get a new – and they just send you the big three-ring binder at the beginning, and then every month you get new pages already punched that you add in
okay.
to keep yourself fresh.
Just to keep the thing. But it does it have things every – like when you're just flipping, you're just like for the morning show, and they're just like, all right, it's Fleet Week.
Yeah.
Got Fleet Week jokes. Where's the that's two our Fleet Week stuff? Where's
stuff
the Fleet Week
stuff yeah. that's coming up?
Yeah. All right. Let's go over this Fleet Week thing and let's kind of update a couple of these references. We're currently not in Vietnam right now, so let's take anything that says about our boys in Vietnam and. Let's kind of
the Spiro T. Agnew ramp up to the Beatles song "Money." It was it does fit subject wise, timely wise, maybe a little stale.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt is here. Gotta
hello,
say who you are?
Hello, tomorrow.
Thank you all both for coming out for this. This is very exciting to
thanks
have you
coming.
Here.
Well, I mean, especially with all these people dying and. This so gloomy. And
well, I just wanted to get you guys on quick before you both keel over. I'm just trying to do.
Well, I was trying to just match Lisa's energy the way she kicked this off. I mean,
yeah.
she brought the party. I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to stop it.
Yeah, keep the party going. And
listen to the best show, you survive it.
Yes.
Hey, Scooter, you're supposed to hit the lightning bolt sound effect thing, and then you hit that. We'll do that again, yeah. We'll
yeah.
edit that out.
And then punch me up, ramp the voice of God thing. What is wrong with you people? Why do you fight? I gave you paradise, and you fight. Now that we're not doing that. Can you imagine being on... What do you think would be more hellish to be a... To do a morning, like 4 hours of morning radio every day,
mm-hmm.
or to be a mailman who only had to lug, like every day you finish, like, all right, my mail truck's empty,
mm-hmm.
going back now. And then, like, you have to go back in the morning and it's packed again.
Like, yeah. No matter what you do. Oh, yeah. There's no finally finishing.
Yeah. I never beat this thing. Just roll Sisyphus.
Well, okay, here's what I was actually wondering. What would be worse, to be a greeter or a barista? In other words, someone in the service industry that has to put on and present a smiling face to every customer that comes in, or a morning drive time DJ when some massive, horrible disaster goes down, like a 9/11, what would be the worst position what would be the worst place to be in when that's going on?
To where you have to... The one thing about a morning DJ is that they have the luxury of just being artificial on every level. So now they can
right.
just be like, this is sad. Even if they're not sad, if they talk about how sad they are. Just like a week ago, they talked about how happy they were and they weren't happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's all... they're all dead.
Yeah. This is a sad time. And the guy's just like, I don't care what
this
is. None
literally
of this
don't
matters.
Know what's happening.
Yeah. None of this matters anymore. But that would be I mean, I wonder if like a mailman has to like, or a mail carrier.
Sorry. Whoa.
Wonder if a mail carrier has to, has to. I was getting the sideways glint. No, I was not getting a sideways glint from Lisa. I wonder if there's just games you come up with within that in a way where you're just like, all right, I need to just do all the packages that are in. I'm going to just do all the ones, these mailers that are, I'm going to do all the penny savers on the bottom of the pile of mail today. Yeah. Like,
make it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I had an actual Terry Thomas style singing and dancing mailman for a number of years when I first moved out.
Mm-hmm.
He looked just like Terry Thomas.
No kidding.
And he would always arrive whistling and he would perform for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, seemed like I was living in some surreal land.
Yeah.
Did you leave him a nice card at Christmas?
When he retired, I wrote him a poem and and I cried because, you know, I knew I would never, ever have a literate or let alone singing, dancing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
And then he came back.
He had to.
Wait, 3 years later, he came back in a trailer and asked if he could park in front of my house and borrow some water.
And then you were like, this is not as charming as it was before.
Yeah,
you're upsetting me a little.
Now I'm in a Hal Hartley film all of a sudden.
I missed him, but.
This was done. Yeah. Well, I wonder if mail carriers, have anxiety dreams where they, you know, when you wake up but you're half awake and half dreaming. So he has a dream where he delivers all the mail. But then wakes up and realizes, oh, no, the morning's actually just started. You know, because you can fall asleep for a minute and dream an hour's worth of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you dream like, yeah. And then, but then you, like, wake up and you're just like, there's that moment when you wake up from a good dream and you're just like, oh, okay, that didn't happen. And those are always, you know, people in dreams are like in movies. It's always like, huh! What is it, honey? Oh, I just thought I was being, like, in my experience, either I'm, usually I wake up and I'm just like, what? Oh, okay, I'm not being hunted by someone.
Oh.
Like, it's just a slow, quiet realization that you were not, like, when you're piecing it together. But then there's also that time when you're just like, you wake up, you're really just like, yeah, I didn't hit the lottery twice like I did in the dream. Like, somehow in my dream I hit it twice, and then, oh, this is the same house I went to bed in. I'm not in the dream world. Yeah, that, again, welcome, new listeners, to this fun. Sleep paralysis, the next topic on the table. Who gets it?
The show feels like This American Life committed suicide. Like, that's how, if This American Life could kill itself, it would sound like this.
Well, it's like, we're trying. This is pretty much an audition episode to get on Lars von Trier's new podcast network. He's,
What would the amenities be? Like,
for
the
his
swag,
thing?
Swag bag.
Oh, yeah. What would be in his swag bag?
Be like a gun holster,
mm-hmm.
something.
Just the holster, though.
Yeah, and
just for you to contemplate. Just look at this empty holster. Exactly. What could you fill this with?
Just an empty holster. But then it's, what if it's also? But then he still has to have like a bag of kettle corn in it too. He's like, look, I still have to sell ads on this thing, so I got my. Yes, the holster appeals to certain people. The haunting empty holster with the company logo on it, which would be like Podgenacht. Like, I don't know German, but it would be like, it would have like definitely a pod in it. And then the other half would be like a scary German word. Yeah.
But P A A D with an umlaut over one of the A's, that would be the pod part. And then there'd also be a torn out page. Of like a half torn out spiral notebook page of art that someone in an insane asylum had done, but you get half of the piece of art that's also in the swag bag. It's all just really creepy. A weird photograph from the 70s. It's kind of half faded out, that old Polaroid.
FX-70.
Of like a nice family, like at a picnic, but then there's something in the background. You can't quite, something looming.
Yes.
Something bad.
And then also a thing saying that, because it's a combination of both worlds, it'll just be like, these shows are about the infinite sadness and also Rob Riggle has a football show on the network. Like he's still trying to like play both sides of it. Or, but just so you know, Rob Riggle's NFL sports, his new show, Sports Maniacs, is on the network.
Yeah. And, Brownholer and, Ricky Lindholm have, it's called The Journey. And it's a show where they dissect each Journey song every week. They go through the whole catalog. It's not the destination, it's the journey.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a show by someone who's just like, this person is never walked, and they're doing the show about pain. And then it's like, or you can listen, Andy Milonakis does freestyle raps on his show.
We have a show that is an omnidirectional microphone that we place in the hallway of a nursing home where it is on visiting day, and it's the floor of people who do not receive visitors, and you can, but you can't really make out. It's no one actually talking, Mike. You can just hear through muffled doors someone kind of crying and somebody yelling, and it's just really super disturbing. So an hour of ambient nursing home sounds on visitors' day when the children have not come. That'd be one of the shows.
Oh, I had, you know, when you're in a hospital, and then, like, I had this thing when I had a kidney stone, and then I had to go to the hospital for it, and then, like, the guy in the bed next to me was,
oh,
like,
God.
Kept yelling about how he was scared that, like, a lion was going to kill him.
Wow.
Because he was like an African guy, but he was just, like, kept talking about this lion, the lion, and I was like, oh, well, again, welcome to the fun, the party. I hope everyone's laughing it up.
There you go.
I had not had occasion to be in a hospital in a long, long time.
Good.
Until recently.
Oh, no, until, yes.
And, you know, I'm really onto the stations where they have, every 5 feet, there's another station with the Purell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I felt very clean, but
you get hooked on it.
I didn't want to sit down anywhere, you know.
Yeah, hooked on.
I remember
on.
When I was a kid, some friend of mine had to go to the hospital for something. It wasn't serious, but my other friend's mom, and she, I don't think she was mean to be mean, but she was reading, remember all those Hans Holzer books? Hans Holzer, the ghost hunter. He was this guy in the 70s. And he would put out all these paperbacks, and she was really into that, so she would read it. So my friend, and we're like in middle school, by the way, and he's about to go into the hospital, and she said, well, you know what's interesting? I was reading this Hans. This makes me laugh because it's kind of horrible. You know, everyone thinks that, oh, graveyards are haunted. But cemeteries aren't haunted because no one dies in a cemetery. The places that are the most haunted are hospitals and battlefields. Those places are full of ghosts because people die there all the time. Uh-huh. And she's saying this to my middle school age friend who's about to spend a few days in the hospital. And it just, it was a horrible ordeal for him because he just thought of all the ghosts that were around him the whole time.
I think that's comforting to say your ghost will, if anything goes wrong, look, this is nothing's going to go wrong, but if it does, this is where your ghost will be.
Yeah, you get to hang around a hospital.
Yeah.
There's a TV on.
Pretty a lot of excitement.
Yeah. Watching some judge show.
A lot of daytime TV. Yeah.
Just a ghost trapped in a hospital with the TV up in the thing, stuck on. Just, they always find the worst channel for them. Like, oh, so guys, let's talk about fun stuff. Lisa, you're working on your book.
I am.
Yeah, and your book is about?
My book is about growing up in New York in the 60s and 70s, and being a kid in Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm. Watching people die. Watching everyone around you die.
That happened eventually, yeah, but no.
Who were some of the characters that you came across in your... Who's the first person where you were like, oh my God, I'm actually meeting this person?
Well, the first person that comes to mind is we moved into this building when I was 11, which was a pre-war tenement, and Yoko Ono was and her husband were the supers of the building.
Wow!
And this was when she was married to Tony Cox, and
mm-hmm.
And she was always an extraordinary character.
Sure. And did you know her history at that point at all?
No. She did interesting things.
And what was the rent? Happenings. What was the rent every month? A broken teacup or three butterflies? Yes.
It was to begin with. I think it was $45 a month, and when we left, it was $85. Mm-hmm. So
it was not a letter that says "I love you," like you couldn't write on a piece of paper. I love you.
You had to show her a picture of a heart that you drew in the sand that the waves would wash away. That was the rent.
So Yoko Ono.
Yeah, Yoko Ono.
But that's somebody you realize later who that was.
No,
who
Jackie was there? Curtis, mm-hmm. Candy Darling.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Although.
Yeah, because I spent a lot of time on. I grew up on Christopher Street, mostly Sharon Square, Christopher Street, and I spent a lot of time out on the street. So
mm-hmm.
basically, raised by all the denizens of mm-hmm. that street.
You were raised by the cast of Can't Stop the Music, basically.
It was pretty fun.
It's awesome.
One time I was on Christopher Street because Horatio Sands lived down there at one point, and I was going to his place, and then it was next. He was right next to this this bar called One Potato, Two Potato, and I was walking to it, and a guy was hanging out on a sidewalk, and he threw glitter at me.
Oh, so important.
And then I would had glitter, and then I had to go home. Like, you just go home, you're just like, yeah, I got a weirdest story happened to me. Like, makes it seem like you're, but it's like...
That you've been blessed, though. That's the blessing of the...
I swear, a guy, he's thrown glitter all over the place. Because that's like... I'm sure there's dudes getting busted going to,
That almost sounds the way a homophobe would describe the village. Uh-huh. Hey, you go walking down there, you come back, you're covered in glitter. You know, that's what actually happened to you.
They got guys throwing glitter. Oh, picture dice going down. Yeah.
And I was at the first... Gay Liberation Day Parade, which was...
Wow.
This was a very good week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
this was an awesome week.
A week to recall that day.
What day? When was that? What year was that?
I think it was 70?
Yeah. 1970.
Yeah.
Wow.
And weren't there... There were still some pretty horrible laws on the books in 1970.
Oh, yeah. One of the... You could shoot someone if you saw them... I can't say it probably, but yeah, there were there.
What?
There, and I think that law was on the books well into the 80s.
Oh my
God. I mean, you know, one step forward.
Yeah. And then there was that whole. It's amazing when you think about that whole hard hat riot that went on.
Yeah,
which
that
is
was
one of the
creepy.
Things that you don't. That just pretty much. I mean, it was just these construction. Where did they go with it? I don't know that much about it, but the things I've read about it.
I thought the hard hat riot was weren't they initially fighting against what they thought were hippies, or was it against gay people, or?
And they just turned a blind eye to, I think the cops just turned a blind
eye.
Yeah,
like they let it happen. It was really, it was so horrific, and it was so, you know, that the stuff that we condemn other countries for doing, that's so barbaric. And, mm-hmm. and it was just happening right in the middle of New York.
Yeah. And then now there's guys – we're at the point where there's people in – where it's you know, your dad was a part of – funny story about all this gay rights stuff. It's you know what your uncle did? There was this thing, the hard hat thing, and your uncle was working on a thing, and he just started beating the crap out of all these people he disagreed with, and the cops just let him do it.
This is the funny part of it. He got a wrench from the construction site, and he loosened a parking meter, so he was swinging it and really did a lot of damage. I think we got a picture, but it was one of those little Kodaks, so it's very blurry. It wasn't high speed film. But that's his legacy.
That's the side of things he ended up on.
It is so weird how in a day And this happens. Suddenly there's this whole class of people, this whole narrow-minded group of bigoted people that they, it's not even that they seem antiquated anymore. They seem, they instantly became sad and quaint. It was like, and I think I wrote something about this where it felt like after grunge broke and all, suddenly all the hair metal bands like Warrant and instantly were, oh, that's for old people. It's just this strange, you don't even like hate them anymore. You just go, you literally don't matter. You don't matter. That's such a great feeling and such a weird feeling.
Until you're one crazy guy who does something really.
Well, again, that potential is always there, but it would really, really made me feel happy, not only when it passed and it's the law of the land, but the fact that they were, you know, they were reading like Alito and Clarence Thomas and Scalia's dissents, and people's reactions weren't even horror and disgust. It was, yeah, that's what those guys do. It was like a guy, I don't know, that to me, I think is more terrifying to them than people getting outraged. Oh my God, this is disgusting. It's like we have that uncle that is a horrible racist and you fight with him all through high school and college. And then you get a little older and you go back to Thanksgiving and you just go, I wonder what he's going to, like, I just want to see what he's going to say. Cause you realize he doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's amazing to me.
Yeah. That it just gets.
That's progress.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Progress is, and the most terrifying thing for them is indifference. Is us going, oh, look at you. What do you got to say, Antonin? Oh, it's about people going to marry fire. Okay, yeah, that's what he does. I also loved, did you read John Roberts' dissent was essentially, look, it's not in the Constitution, but you're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, he just was enough. What's wrong? It's 2015. Good Lord. You know.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And thank you, Ronald Reagan, for appointing Justice Kennedy.
It was amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
He did it. That's why.
Thanks, Ronnie.
That's why he's the greatest president ever. Reagan. He was a pretty cool dude. He was in a lot of – the fun thing about him is he was in a lot of movies that people don't know. He was like a movie. He was like – because his funniest thing is like, who would that be – who would be like the Reagan of networks? Like, yeah, see, this guy was in all these horrible movies. Like, he was in –
it just didn't
one movie was worse
click.
Than the next.
Yeah. It'd be like in 10 years, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, but like if Eric Roberts ran for president, people would – that's not a good one because he
was in –
he was in some really good movies and was nominated a bunch of times. I mean, someone that was just there, but
you have to be in a movie with an animal, like, you know, with like, or a,
would it be like? It would be like if
Brendan
like,
Fraser.
Who I was going to
be. Brendan Fraser. It would be.
Yeah.
Brendan. And by the way, he's a charming, ridiculously handsome human being, likable.
Yeah.
And he could totally run for president. People go, oh, you know, he was in the. You ever see these mummy movies? He fought a mummy. And one of them, there were mummies, but they're little monkeys, little monkey mummies. He was in a movie with monkey mummies, and he's the president now. Isn't that great?
Yeah. And then it would be like his bedtime for Bonzo would be that one movie where he was like fighting with like a skunk and
furry vengeance.
And like the squirrels and skunks were attacking him.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, look at the president. He's trying to renovate this house, and this one skunk keeps giving him the business. That's the guy who's got his finger on the button.
That's our president in a porta potty getting pushed down a hill. All these raccoons got together, and they built a very primitive lever, and they pushed him down the hill in the porta potty.
But he doesn't remember it anymore.
He doesn't remember it.
No, he
he's
would.
Beyond it, people. Come on.
By that point, it's going to be. He might not be electable by the because he won't have like ink,
right?
Like what's a president
no
in
50, tattoo.
Yeah, like 50 years from now, it's just gonna be like, I don't know if I can vote for this guy. He's not all inked up. This guy doesn't have any ink.
Yeah,
he doesn't have those ear lobe earrings.
Yeah, like, the weird. Yeah, there's no tribal scars on him. His lip isn't split.
Yeah.
There's not these weird studs on the – that I've never understood that. They have the weird pointy studs but on the corner of the mouth, which is – so you just want to keep every person away from you or it's –
look, I
– not sound older right now.
I like that stuff.
The balls that you implant.
Yeah, the weird implants.
That's why I'm in town. I didn't want to say.
Oh, you're here for a piercing convention?
Well, I'm getting the things implanted on my head. I was trying to keep it under wraps.
You getting some horns?
I'm getting a couple horns stuck to my head. Hey. But
those are my favorite.
At some point, there'll be a thing where it's just like, if the president, everybody will have so many like compromising photos of themselves. If like, yeah. if that starts when you're 12 now, of just dumb photos of you, and then it grows into you being dumb photos of you in the frat, in college, being drunk with puke all over yourself.
Right.
Or worse, like, you know, pictures of you when not wearing clothes or whatever.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
At some point, it will shift to where none of that matters, and then you will be like, I don't know, I haven't seen this. There's no photos of the president nude. I don't know if I can trust this guy.
I still think that's going to be a really long way off, because keep in mind, it was 2012. Our first black president was reelected, and Fox News found photos of him in a fedora smoking and thought, well, this is the end for him. These photos have surfaced of him in college. You're like, are you kidding? Yeah. He has a fedora and a cigarette, and this is going to end his political career. Yeah.
I almost didn't vote for him because that, oh wait, he was the kind of douche who wore a fedora. Like, look at this guy. He seems like a load. Like, he chose to put a fedora. Like, I went the other way with it. Oh God.
He's dressed Ralph Macchio in Teachers.
That's the president? The dumb fedora on? But meanwhile, they think it's just like, man, the president, looks like he could be out pimping people out on the streets. Like, no, he just looks like a dimwit.
God. That's every theater nerd. He's got a fedora on. Or every kid who thinks he can buy everyone beer because he has a bad fake ID. Man, just wearing my crazy fedora.
When's the book done, Lisa? I know that's a horrible thing to ask.
No, I
somebody.
Have to finish by September, so.
Okay.
I'm really cranking now.
Good, good. And is there a title yet?
No.
Okay, good. Title
TK. Do you want to title it?
Sure.
Okay, tell me what it is.
This is what happened.
This
is what happened.
I like it.
The Lisa Jane Persky story. Now, Patton, you have been busy. The last time you were on the show was back at the final WFMU shows.
That's right.
And since then, your second book came out.
I came to New York on that book tour, and it was my schedule was so crazy, and I don't know if you were up and running at that point in the apartment.
No,
or
we just missed you.
Yeah, it's weird how you're kind of like, you and Donald Trump are in the same boat right now. You bought all this equipment, you have to do the show now.
Yeah.
He announced he's going to run for president, NBC is like, well, we're shutting all your other stuff down.
Yeah.
And you can almost see, you feel him kind of going, I was just going to do this to promote the show, and I was going to shut it down, guys. You're not supposed to. Now I actually run? I can't. I had no plans on running.
Yeah, exactly. He's just trapped now by this thing. It's like, hold on. I can't just dip my toe in this thing, get all the benefits from it, and none of the bad parts of it. You guys actually want me to do this round the clock? I can't wait till that first time he has to be in a diner.
Yes, yes.
And then every person who he wouldn't come within 15 feet is shaking their hand. Now he has to be just like, it's so nice to meet you, and shake all of their hand. Like, hey, you have to shake every one of these people. If they reach their hand out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and even not only if they reach their hand out, you have to reflexively go to them with your hand out. And for him, that's the opposite of how he's conducted himself forever. Now he's like,
what if I just go in this thing for 5 minutes and do some thing and then leave? Then, no, you have to stand there. Like,
and you've got to do this 15 times a day. That's the other thing, too, that I'm looking forward to. When he makes a personal appearance, it's hours to get him looking as awful as he – it takes a lot of time. So if he's got to do 10 events in a day and he's only got like 20 minutes in between each one, you're going to just see him begin to unravel.
Oh, this is
by the end
best.
Of the day, he'll look like Bill Murray at the end of Kingpin with his just hair flying all over the place.
Yeah, because –
and the makeup sliding off and –
because they couldn't get him back on the bus to completely repair him the way they always do.
It'll be Dorian Gray in real time, just right in front of you, coming apart.
It's going to be great to see him have to go through that stuff. And he does this thing, where he always comments on, like, when he's at a podium, he'll say something like, he'll be reading off the teleprompter. It's supposed to be in his voice, so he just goes like, you know, they say, he's be like, educating children is really the most important thing we have. And then he'll go, that's true. Like, he comments on, like, he's so innately dumb that he can't hand himself over to realize when he says a thing. I'd say he's innately egotistic. His ego is so outsized.
Yeah.
He can never be constrained by just what he reads off of a screen as being him. He still has to be bigger than that.
Exactly. Like,
you know, that's true. And here's his statement. Here's his statement to his relationship with NBC. This is like signed by him.
That's the other thing, too, that the one thing I do like about him, not as a president, but as someone for me to watch, he clearly does not have a speechwriting team, or if he has them, he's hired them just to berate them and ignore them and go, this is crap, I'll write something. Like, that's part of his...
He's the roguiest.
Which I love, which means we get to watch whatever you're about to play. I'm sure it's going to be delightful.
Well, here's him. This is what he wrote. This is and signed by him. As of today, Donald J. Trump is no longer affiliated with NBC. Mr. Trump stands by his statements on illegal immigration, which are accurate. NBC is weak, and like everybody else, is trying to be politically correct. That is why our country is in serious trouble. Mr. Trump says, this is like in a letter, at the end of the letter it says it's signed by Donald J. Trump. But in it, Trump says, I mean, this is like just stupid. Like, that's just...
It's the best.
Mr. Trump says we must have strong borders and not let illegal immigrants enter the United States. So he, what a dimwit. And then you go to Atlantic City and you see just the...
Every employee at every Trump casino, it's clearly immigrant labor. Everything that he sells in there, it's all says made in China. He's not putting a cent back into the country.
No.
But again, you can't even get outraged by it because it's so easy to – you can disprove anything he says when he's halfway done saying it. You don't need to wait for him to finish it and then go, okay, let me go vet that. As he's saying it, you can go, stop. Actually, I'm sorry. I know that what you're – there's – it's so easy – that it's kind of not – that part's not fun.
Yeah,
I don't think he's realized that, you know, his role is that he's just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no, you slid out of, like, businessman, like, we're just like, this guy is a motivational, like, a super success. Everybody knows he's just a – he keeps, like, gluing these companies together and then it breaks and then he sticks some band-aids on it.
And then he sues people and they just go, oh, just pay him off. It's not worth it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I won another case. Yeah.
This is his only paying gig, was this NBC gig, right?
Yeah, that was it.
As an actor, too.
He just lends his name to things that he's not an actual owner of. He just, like, he's so that name is for sale ever, the Trump name.
Didn't he have I'm making air quotes, that university that everyone that went there ended up suing him because it was a shell game.
Yeah.
It was not even a
Trump.
Literally not a thing.
Trump U. Yeah, Trump U. Could you imagine the kid with no motivation Mom and Dad, I'm getting my act together. You guys are right. I have no focus. Then I was watching television, and I saw this guy. I saw the dean from this university on this program where he started yelling at Dennis Rodman because he didn't sell enough hot dogs. Because his team didn't sell hot dogs.
Yeah, Emmanuel Lewis outsold him in hot dogs, yes. And he was trying to motivate him. Yeah.
So this dean of this dean, I checked into it. It's like, this dean seems like whatever university he's presiding over must be really kind of, really speaks to me. So I would like some tuition for this non-existent university that they're going to send me a zip file. like this university will send me a zip file. That's the semester.
Mom, Dad, the thumb drive came. I'm going to Trump U. The thumb drive just showed up. Don't get it wet. That's my college semester. Don't get my semester wet. I got to plug it into, can I borrow one of your laptops?
Can I borrow one of your laptops? I can't open my college.
Yeah. I got to take my college down to the library, get on one of their laptops, and start taking courses.
Yeah. I'm going to, what's that in your hand? It's my college. My friends, I would like to tell you all listening, you know Las Vegas, right? It's a fun place you can go. And it's a place that has something for everybody. You want to go and you want to be an unchained maniac, you go do that there. It's a place for that. You could party. I went there last year. We had our fantasy basketball draft there, and it was a fantastic time. We ate at nice places, and then I played slot machines, and then and I saw the Beatles, Cirque du Soleil show, and I did things like that. You can do whatever you want with Las Vegas. It is what you make of it. And that's why the best show tonight is sponsored by Vegas.com. And what is Vegas.com? Well, it is a website that is the way for you to book a trip to Las Vegas. It's a site put together by insiders who get the best deals. These are the people who are actually from Vegas, and they work there, and they live there. They even party there. So, and you should know that Vegas.com's proprietary DropWatch tool promises the lowest rates on hotels. It monitors prices. It notifies you of changes to ensure you get the best deal. And you can even get the best price guaranteed after you book. You get the best prices, not only on hotels, but shows, tours, and attractions, restaurants. And it brings the party to you. And now you go to Vegas.com and you go to the party that they offer. You put your trip together. Vegas.com gives you the best deals on stuff. You go to Vegas.com right now. You click the microphone in the top right corner. You enter in my code, Thomas, T-O-M-S. To receive an extra 10% off everything but the air and hotel packages. That's right, Vegas.com. Click on the microphone to get your bonus savings by using the secret code TOMS. And you get an extra 10% off, and then you do what you want. You go there. Look, I go to casinos. I'm telling you, I go to casinos when I got to write. I go to casinos. I go to Atlantic City because that's where I'm from, New Jersey. I go down there. You go there, you eat, it doesn't shut down, you have fun, you play the Sex and the City slot machine. They got a Willy Wonka slot machine now that is the most fun. You should have seen the golden eggs I was pulling on that thing. The Flintstone slot machine. I'm pretty good at slot machines. Everyone knows it. I'm a slot machine wizard. But that's what I do with it. You want to go to a gentleman's club? You do that, or you can do it. You go and have a nice time, a nice PG time. But if you want to do it, you go to Vegas.com and you book your trip. Thomas is the code in the microphone in the top right corner. Thank you. So, this is the best show. I'm joined by Patton Oswalt. and Lisa Jane Persky. Okay. We have Brett here, Engineer Brett.
Hey there.
It's weird to say that. I hear people say that about you. You know what I mean? But they say
they say
it.
That about me a lot.
They say it's like we got Engineer Brett here. And they, but it's like
Tom, don't try to turn him into your AP mic. Don't make this like Vertigo where you're forcing him into a wig.
Just put this wig on.
Put this wig on and drink these drink four cores right now.
These cores like, oh, look at you. Like, isn't it amazing how Vertigo looped around to be like the top movie in movie, like in all the AFI things, it's the number one movie now where
yeah.
You know there was a point where, like, 50 years ago Vertigo came out? 60 years ago now?
Hated it.
Yeah, where just at that point it's like, this pile of like, at the studio, just like, what is Vertigo, like, I want, like, throwing posters, like, angrily crumpling up anything that says Vertigo on it.
Yeah, but I really think that at the time, I mean, that movie is so, especially, it's really timely now about obsession and trying to make your it's almost like if Jimmy Stewart's character had had the internet, he would have been cyber stalking that that girl, but you know, he just didn't have that then, so it was that level of craziness. And it was also this, it's Alfred Hitchcock giving the public a personal glimpse, and the public going, we don't want to know any of this, please don't show us any of this, we're not interested. Oh, my God, why did you just show us this? We enjoyed your films. We thought you were a fun master of suspense, but clearly you're this damaged perv that knows how to make movies.
I thought this was the guy who walked across the thing and did the crop duster was chasing the people, and then the birds came down, and he's sick and scary. Like, he seems like he's not well in his head.
Yeah, just something's wrong. Because
it's almost like, it's a thing of just like, the master of horror and suspense. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do this time? He did birds, and then he did, like, all these things. Like, well, this time it's a creep who just super obsessed, can't let it go.
Yeah, and torments this woman. And it's kind of what I do to my actresses, and it's not hard to put it together while you watch the movie. Yeah. It's very clear that this is an autobiography, and I've done a terrible job of hiding it.
And it's like, oh, tell me more about this villain. Is this like another Norman Bates type? No, this is Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
This is the star of the movie. Like,
yeah, the guy that you're rooting for is the weird, the asexual predator. That's your hero.
Yeah,
get behind him.
Is there any, what can you think of over the last 10 years that is like, will get its just due 50 years later? Other than the best show.
Oh, that's a good.
Other than the best show.
Other than, you are so upset. You will not be happy unless, when you are on your deathbed in 2 years and you're looking at, nothing's going to make you happier than to look over and see there's just not enough downloads. You're like, I just went out like big star. And then it'll be 20 years. Suddenly people will start. I'll be the Henry Darger of podcasts. They'll just recreate my studio somewhere.
What I'm working on is a thing that will alert me from the other side. Just some sort of machine that will contact me.
Yeah, when the biopic gets made.
So I can see. Yes. There it is. Like, I'm looking through the ether of the afterlife. I'm just like, they are downloading the show. They're, look at, it's happening. I knew this is what would happen. I'm dead. And then I'll look and I'll see, like, it's a book signing. It's AP Mike at a book. Look at the line. His tell all about the thing. No. But other than the best show. What will be the thing that...
There's a guy on Roger Ebert's website called Scout Tafoya, and he does this thing every couple weeks called The Unloved, and there are these amazing video essays about movies that came out and were just unjustly either vilified or people hated them. And he makes some really strong arguments for movies like
Godzilla?
The Johnny Depp Lone Ranger. Mm-hmm. He compares it to Heaven's Gate, how Heaven's Gate is now being reconsidered, and he says that that one will also be reconsidered, but it's just going to take a lot because it is a – at its base, it is a huge bummer of a movie in that it's supposed to be a big, fun summer movie, but it's about this guy, the Johnny Depp's character, whose village was massacred, and he's crazy, and the other guy, and everyone's being wiped out, and it's this weirdly – it's a giant $300 million early 70s revisionist Western that the guy somehow tricked the studio into making.
And it's amazing that people get so, like, you'd think that everybody was like a studio head where they're just like, this is so great. This movie's going to bomb. It's going to lose so much money. Like, it's like, you're not incompetent. You don't own a rival studio.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, yeah, here we go. This is great. John Carter's bombing. Oh, I'm so, like, no, that doesn't mean you don't make a cent off of that.
He does a really good essay about John Carter and makes an amazing argument for that film. But you know what movie I think is actually, and I think people are too close to it right now to see what, and this is going to sound really strange. There is a...
Ted 2.
That, duh. The Criterion DVD is coming out next month. there's a Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston movie called The Breakup.
Yeah.
And it came out and did, you know, okay, I guess, but people were a little bit weirded out by it. But I'm telling you, I just feel like that movie's going to end up aging really well. I don't know if it'll get to Vertigo status, but it'll be one of those, hey, this movie was actually pretty. It might have been too honest for its own good.
Directed by Peyton Reed.
Oh, he directed that?
He directed The Breakup.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Why don't I saw it in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I was wait a minute. Oh, my mind is slipping because I was at a very early table read for that, but maybe Peyton wasn't there. There was a much radically different ending to it, too. But I really think because when I saw the one that they made, they dealt with some studio demands. And I really, really think that it's going to take another 10 years. People are going to rediscover that movie and go, hey, this was pretty on the money. Mm-hmm. To a fault.
I did not see that.
Is there one you can think of in anything in the culture, though, Lisa?
Jane Carson. I don't know. I like this movie with Tom Hardy called Lock, where he's just in a car for...
I loved that. But I think people appreciate that now.
Really? Because I don't know. We couldn't get anybody to see it, but...
What do you think is something in the culture, not necessarily a movie that in 10 years people look back and go, hey?
I don't know. I got to think about that. I'm going to give you an answer to that. I'm being told that there's a call on the line. Is that – hello?
Hey, little brother.
Who is this?
Come on. It's your big brother, Ron, you dip.
Ugh. This is what I was told that there was an important call on hold.
It is.
We went through a lot of hassle to get this on. Oh my God. I can't believe for people listening, this is my older brother, Ron Sharpling.
Oh.
How are you, Ron?
Wait, is that it? That's the intro?
Yeah, what do you mean, is that it?
Well, you didn't say anything about my very successful landmark podcast, Brother Ron's Real the Best Show, nor did you say anything about my supporting role in this Bob's Burgers movie.
Wait, what was the Bob's Burgers movie? What is the Bob's Burgers movie?
What?
There's a Bob.
You don't know about this?
No, I don't know that there's a Bob's Burgers movie, and you're involved in it.
Oh yeah, anyone who's anyone is doing a voice in this thing. You're doing a voice, right? Quit kidding.
No, well, this is the first I'm hearing of it. I'm not doing a voice in it, but everybody's doing a voice. Yeah,
that's rough. Sorry, I brought it up. Oh, man. But I'll tell you, this thing's going to be huge.
The Bob's Burgers movie?
Yeah, it's going to be massive. It's being directed by Bruce Strauss Milliken. You know, he's the guy that did the Warriors TV series back in 1980.
The what? The Warriors. The Warriors was Walter Hill, the movie.
The TV show. The TV show.
There was no Warriors TV series.
There sure was.
Oh,
you don't remember this?
No, never heard.
It was directed by Trent L. Strauss's step half cousin.
Bruce Strauss?
Bruce Strauss Milliken.
Oh, Milliken.
You're into film and you don't know these guys?
Uh-huh. Well, look, do you know? I don't know anything about the Warriors TV series.
Oh.
Do you
want to be taken to TV school?
Sure. Take me to TV school, Ron.
All right. Get on the bus.
Okay, I'm on the bus.
Make a bus sound. Come on. Make a sound like you're getting on the bus.
That's the doors opening.
All right.
Clump, clump, clump. Is that seat open? Why am I doing this? Why am I actually going along with you pretending I'm getting on the bus?
Because I'm your older brother. You do everything the older brother says.
Now
go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom and stick your head in the toilet.
Or we're off the bus, though, right? This bus thing's done.
No, I mean now.
Oh, no, not in real life.
You are.
No, I'm not doing
it. Come on, do it.
No, you can't pick on me like you used to. No, Ron.
All right, well, school's in session, all right?
Okay.
Well, you know, of course, the Warriors is this huge cult movie now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it came out, they stopped promoting it because kids were icing each other outside the theaters. You know, so it was nowhere near as big as it could have been at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, President Reagan loved it.
The TV show?
No, the movie!
The movie. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Reagan loved the movie The Warriors.
He did. Oh, yeah. He even called the director, Michael Back, and he said, you know, I watched it at Camp David, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, if you think about it, it's probably the first time a sitting president has ever heard the phrase strange wool in reference to, you know, a nameless woman's sex bucket. What?
Oh, God. The worst thing yet.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, The Warriors was enough of a hit film that Norman Lear, he went and got the rights for a series in mid-1979.
Norman Lear, the...
Oh, yeah.
The All in the Family and...
Good Times.
Good Times,
yeah,
and
all that stuff.
Maud.
Yep.
Okay. Never heard that.
Oh, yeah. And they actually shot a whole season's worth of episodes in the spring of 1980. But unfortunately, only one episode ran before they pulled the plug on it.
Uh-huh. Why'd they pull the plug?
Well, you know, the show didn't know if it wanted to be a funny, Welcome Back Cotter-esque sitcom or like a violent smash-your-skull-with-a-baseball-bat-effing-in-an-alley horror porn drama. You know how that goes?
Sure, who doesn't know how that goes, Ron? That's the eternal conundrum, right?
It is, yeah.
Well, look,
I think Jesus spoke of this, right? In Galatians 17 and 28, I don't know.
Galatians.
I have my biblical stuff nailed down.
Galatians, is that an actual section of the Bible?
Galatians, yeah, right?
Look, you've never been much of a theologian, so I'm just going to let that slide.
No. Do you know what I used to do when everyone was going to church in the morning?
What? Well, I do know. Why don't you tell them?
I would sneak out the back, mm-hmm. and I would, you know, if it was summer, I would just jump in the pool, and I had a reed. You know how, like, in those prison escape movies, the guy would get in, like, a lake with a reed, and he would breathe through the reed? you know, so that the cops and their dogs wouldn't find him.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
doing that for like hours
in a pool though that everyone yeah. could see you in with the you understand?
Oh, wait, you don't think mom and dad. You don't think mom and dad saw my ass, do you?
Everyone saw you in the pool. It was because the thing
did
in those
you?
Those yes, everyone saw you in there. Those movies, people are doing it in like a swamp. You were doing it in a clear pool.
Now that I think of it, my logic is slightly flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
So look, this Warriors TV series.
Wait, is this why everyone used to call me the Reed Dummy?
Yes, this is probably why everyone called you the Reed Dummy.
S hit.
Okay, look, Ron. This Warriors TV series, I understand the idea that they would try to make it like a Welcome Back Kotter type show, because that would there was precedent for that at least. But there was no other violent, super violent shows on TV in the early 80s like that.
Why, no, yeah. And that's why it's one of the greatest, weirdest TV footnotes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
See, strap yourself in here.
Okay.
The basic log line of the show, mm-hmm. that's a Hollywood term that there's no way in hell you've ever heard of.
The log line, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
go.
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
See, I knew it, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's how it goes. After struggling to make their way back to Coney Island, the Riffs reward the Warriors' bravery by giving them $10,000 in ill-gotten money to start their own hot dog stand.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Warriors Wieners.
A hot dog stand, Warriors Wieners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, basically the story is about Swan, Snow, Vermin, and the rest of the gang trying to strike a balance between running a successful business during the day and going to F off at night, getting knee-deep in sick crimes galore.
Okay.
And there was this other plot line, too,
mm-hmm.
where Mercy, that's the chick, you know, that they pick up from the orphans.
Yeah.
She and Swan, they get married, and they have quintuplets. And, of course, that causes a big divide between Swan and the Warriors because, you know, Swan loves to get down on strange wool and smash heads, and Mercy's constantly nagging his ass about being all night rumbling with, you know, the orphans and the High Life Furies.
It's the Baseball Furies.
Crack an episode of the Warriors TV show much? It don't sound like you do.
Well, it don't sound like I do because until 5 minutes ago, I didn't know it existed. So
it's more that skewed logic of mine, in effect.
What are the High Life Furies?
Oh, well, see, High Life was just starting to get popular when the Warriors TV series was being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS had very high hopes for it becoming the number one sport in America.
Okay.
And they were going to tie it into Wednesday Night High Life. But then, of course, the sport died after the High Life slasher went on that heinous rampage in early 1981. Oh, remember that?
That was so troubling. Everyone was so on edge.
We were scared. Yes.
It was like... people were scared to attend High Life matches.
And everyone wanted to see those matches.
It was one of those things.
I remember you pleading with mom and dad, please let us go to High Life.
I loved it. I mean,
yeah,
how many people did he kill?
Poof, I'd have to look it up, but it was at least 300.
Unbelievable. 314, I'm looking at here.
Look it up. Oh, you did? Yeah.
I am.
It was 314, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. That really
scary.
That ended the sport, so.
It did, yeah. Yeah. Oh, but getting back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
One cool thing about the show was every episode featured a band stopping by the hot dog stand.
Really? They stopped by Warriors Wieners?
Yeah, yeah.
Like who?
Oh, man. I was trying to remember. Oh, I know this. It was like, off the top of my head, Blondie, Parliament, REO Speedwagon, Bad Brains, Air Supply, The Misfits, who else? Lips, Inc., Gigi Allen and the Jabbers, Eddie Grant, Molly Hatchet, who else? Ambrosia, The Jam, Classic Nouveau. I'm pretty sure Blue Oyster Cult was on there, Manhattan Transfer, The Clash, Burning Spear, who else? Bush Tetras, Sheena Easton, Rainbow, Spandau Ballet, who else? ESG, The Outlaws, Gary Numan, Cockney Rejects, Atletico Spiz 80, Michael Jackson, Gang of Four, Yes.
No. All of those bands stopped.
That might have been it, yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah, it was supposed to be amazing. And at the end of every episode, just as the credits were about to roll, the Warriors would come on screen and start jamming and singing along with whatever single the band was promoting on the show.
Oh, that sounds insane. I mean, you'd get an episode of this show where the characters from the Warriors would what, sing with Yes?
Yeah. That was actually the episode that aired that I saw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You must have been busy playing wacky packages with your friend Darren that night. Oh, my God. Man, I will never forget the god-awful racket you guys made that summer. You had the bright idea to write and record your own version of Pink Floyd's The Wall. Oh, my God.
I don't want to talk about this. No, please.
What did you call it? You called it the Newbridge Wall. Isn't that right?
Look, Ron, this Warriors TV show, yes, we're really on it.
Oh, they were, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so check it out. So right before the credits, you know, you hear that iconic sound. You know?
Yeah.
And then you see that it's Yes vocalist Trevor Horn making that sound. And then Trevor Horn delivers that iconic line, which, of course, you know, has become one of the most famous movie lines ever uttered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's as classic as it gets. I mean, I don't know.
It was like, Warriors! Warriors! Warriors, get ready to play!
No, that's not the line.
Oh, it's great.
That's not the line.
What?
That's not the line.
Sure it is.
No, that's
it's
not the
Warriors,
line.
Warriors, get ready to play.
No, it's not get ready to play.
What do you think it is?
What is it? It's Warriors come out?
Come out to Warriors come out to play.
Come out to play and...
No, it's Warriors, colon, get ready to play.
Colon.
They're getting ready to play.
No. That's not the line at all. You're so off.
I'm positive it's get ready to play.
No, that's.
Yeah.
You're positive. I'm positive that you're wrong. It's wrong. There's no middle ground on this, Ron. It's right or wrong, and you're wrong on this one. I mean.
Get ready to play.
No, this is.
Well,
I don't understand what this is. The where people get these famous quotes from movies wrong, and they add "get ready" into the mix,
like what? What?
Like
else?
from Scarface. There was somebody thought the line was "get ready to meet my little friend."
It is.
No, that's not what
get
the
ready
line.
To meet my little friend.
No, that's not the line at all. Get ready to meet my little friend. So gentle. He's talking about a machine gun.
Wait,
were you going to do an impression there?
Happened with me all. What was that?
Were you starting to do an impression?
Get ready to meet my little friend.
Well, that sounded Southern. Scarface was not Southern.
Sure it is. He's French. It's Scarface.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, Ron.
He's from the bayou, isn't he?
No, he was not from the bayou. He was from Cuba.
It's the steamboat. It's the steamboat scene. Do you remember this?
Steamboat scene.
He's
in...
He's unschooling you on everything.
There was no steamboat scene in Scarface,
yes,
Ron.
It is. And movie trivia for you, it's the same steamboat that they used in the Culture Club Church of the Poison Mind video.
Oh, Ron. I think that's the Karma Chameleon video has the steamboat, but that's...
Oh, you know, hey, I admit when I'm wrong. You took me to New Wave School just now. I admit it.
There you go. Well, I guess we're both getting an education tonight. So...
Right? Yeah, okay. Goes both ways. Look, so anyway, so then all the gang members came out, and they all sang a Tempest Fugia along with Yes, and it was actually quite musical. I think you would have liked it.
So they're singing from the album Drama. So to promote the album Drama.
Punk album.
Yeah, the punk album. Hey, Ron, can I ask you a question? How do you happen to just have three empty Coke bottles handy?
What do you mean? Don't you?
No.
Really? Oh, yeah. It's just fun to – it's like a fun thing. It's like, you know, some people smoke. And some people, you know, do the Coke bottle thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who's a big triple Coke bottle guy?
Who's that?
Obama.
Obama is a big – he has three Coke bottles with him?
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's why there are all those weird sounds in that Marc Maron podcast with him. They tried to filter it out with a compressor.
Yeah.
And you can barely hear it, though. Yeah.
But the whole time Obama is clinking three Coke bottles.
He's clinking away.
Uh-huh.
Doing the tri-bottle clink.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that what you call it?
Who else is a tri-bottle clinker?
Who's that?
Pete Rose.
Oh, okay. Is that a thing? Who is and isn't a tri-bottle clinker?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who else is. Julius Irving was. Charlie Harper of the UK Subs. Who else? Bob Dylan.
Really?
Don Rickles. Yeah, Don Rickles. He's a tri-bottle clinker.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Carpenter. Bob Costas.
Who's that last one?
Bob Costas?
Costas.
How do you say it?
Suddenly now you're being strangely deferential to Hispanic voice. You're pronouncing Costas as if he's from Cuba, but you're doing this Scarface voice like he's from – well, you think he's from the bayou. Look, I'm not going to open
I
this
like
up.
Old people.
Look,
you know that.
What's going on
I
here
everybody.
Tonight? What's going on, Ron?
What do you mean?
You didn't call to talk about this stuff. Look,
I want to see if you're doing that Bob's Burgers thing, and I'll tell you what, man. I just hope that the Bob's Burgers schedule doesn't interfere with these live shows.
Live shows? What live shows?
Mine and Patton's. Why?
Wait. Live shows. Yours and what? Patton, not Patton, Oswalt Patton.
Yeah, why?
You are doing live shows.
I wanted to let your brother tell you.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted to let Ron tell me.
Yeah. He was excited and he wanted to tell you.
Well,
so
this is – okay, Ron, why don't you tell me then? Because Patton clearly is now looking the other way and is not making eye contact with me. And
yeah, we do this really fun live show, and you know we have a band, and we sing songs, and I do these funny characters, and the best one is this one character, Delaware Dan.
Delaware Dan. So this is a character you do, and you're doing like he's from Delaware then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all things Delaware, Delaware food and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also do this live version of the Joe Show. One of them is like, it's an interview show between Joe Walsh and Joe Namath, and it's like something like
that. Yeah, no,
it's
I know what it is, Ron. I came up with it.
Joe Walsh, you play in the Eagles, and that's really good. Your guitar is really good. Thanks, man.
I know what that is. You stole it from me.
Cracks me up so much when he does that.
That is great.
I mean, it's funny. Those voices are, and I don't know. There's just something that the energy that he brings to it is great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Only I can do it.
I can do it.
I tried when we were talking about this, but he shot it down, and I'll defer to him. But I wanted to do the Joe and Joe and Joe show. I do, I think, a good Joe Mantegna, but he doesn't think it's up to his
standard.
Ron's
exacting standards.
Well, I mean, those are good impressions,
I think if you workshop this for another like 3 years, we'll be good to go with it.
Okay.
So
right now he just says it gets a little too busy with three Joes.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it is too. Just defer to him.
It's getting there though. But Tom, I'm getting this vibe from you, and I don't like it. And I just have to say this to you.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be such a sore loser. You know, so your podcast is ranked number 301, just behind Bobzilla's Fartcast, okay? And mine's in the top 10, just behind that podcast. Everyone's creaming themselves over about the guy who got arrested for murdering some other guy. Maybe did it, maybe didn't. Who knows? Who cares?
Is that Serial? I didn't listen to Serial. I'm assuming that's what you're...
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Ron. I'm actually with you on that. But look, you and Patton Oswalt are doing live shows together. This is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do a handful of shows on the West Coast. They're going to be a blast.
Uh-huh. When are you doing these shows?
Let me check my schedule here. I got it here somewhere. Let's see. Oh, Seattle on August 27th, Portland on the 29th, San Francisco on September 3rd, and LA on September 5th.
We had to add a second show in Portland, by the way.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah, sold out instantly. Crazy.
So, hold on. These dates are exactly the same dates that I'm touring with my show. The Sharpling and Worcester. We're doing Seattle, then Portland, then San Francisco, then L.A. on all of those same days.
Huh.
Hmm.
I don't know what to tell you there, son.
Oh, you're not sure what to tell me there, son. There's no influence? What?
Pardon me?
So that just happens to be the dates, huh?
Look, he just sent me the itinerary, and I was free, so I said, I mean.
And you didn't think to check with me. Well, then, look. I guess
I feel
kind of weird now.
I don't know you do live stuff. I figure you sit at that desk all day or something, just typing away with those fudge fingers.
Oh, that's nice. You're so mean, Ron.
Hey, Ron, I hate to interrupt. Are you broadcasting right now?
I'm about to.
Okay, well,
I'm calling.
Hashtag bitter whiny Tom is trending.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, wow. That's weird. Oh, man.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's true.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, that makes me. Yeah.
Chris Hardwick just sent it out, too. Boy, he's got a lot of followers. Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Any press is good press, right?
Sure.
Don't you think?
No, but. I don't know what – so you just called to rub this in my face is why you called. That you booked tour dates to just ape the ones I have on the books. And then you get Patton and then he's doing the show with
– No.
So this is not why you called?
No.
Why?
No.
Why'd
no.
you call
All right. then? Here's the reason I called.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm about to interview Governor Christie for my podcast. How cool is this that I get him the day he throws his hat into the ring for president? I mean, this is going to drive my downloads way up.
Governor Christie.
Yeah.
Who I've been trying to get for over 2 years to do my show. Trying to get him on the best show. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Well,
so you, he's doing your show, but I've been working on it for ages.
Tom, I got to be honest again. This is a very unflattering look for you. Why can't you just be happy for your older and more gifted brother? You know, if you're nicer to me, maybe I'll hook you up with a few of the guests that I've got coming up on my show as the year goes on.
Who could you possibly have lined up on your show?
I got the list right here. Hang on. I'll be honest, I don't know who 80% of these idiots are. My producer lined them up.
Hey, Ron, when you talk to Governor Christie, and I don't want to spoil it, you don't need to say yes or no, are you going to bring out Jerry the Ferret, that puppet that you use, which is so hilarious, to talk to Governor Christie?
Yeah. It's the best idea I've ever had.
Oh, that kills
Jerry
me.
The Ferret.
Jerry the Ferret. It's this puppet, and it is
Sounds so unique.
Oh, my God.
He's so insulting. It's so good.
He's the best. That cracks me up.
It is.
Oh,
man. Hey, I'm
these guests coming up. Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington.
Okay, I've had them on my show.
Brett Gelman.
Mm-hmm. He's been on my show.
Jason Walliner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jerry Ferrara sounds like a Latin dancer. Kristen Schaal.
Yes.
John Oliver.
Yeah, been on my show.
Ellie Kemper.
Yep, been on my show.
Lisa Jane Persky. Oh, of course, from the Kiss movie.
From the Kiss movie, yeah. Lisa Jane Persky is actually here, Ron.
No!
Yeah.
Dirty D is there?
Yes. Dirty D from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park is here.
Oh my God.
I was going to tell you, Tom. I'm sorry. I was going to tell you.
Tell me what?
Miss Persky?
Yeah.
Yes.
Miss Persky?
Yes.
I wanted to say this until you were on the show, but I have to ask you right now.
Yes.
There's a bet going around on the Kiss boards, and some people are saying that you had two kids by Ace Frehley, and some are saying you had four.
Oh, really? Well, you know, that's really personal. That's a really personal question to be asking right off the bat.
Was that going to be your lead question?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I might have to talk to my agent about this, save it for the show because
about a million more people will be listening than are listening to this.
Who else is lined up on your show?
Matt Walsh. Julie Klausner.
Mm-hmm. Had her on my show.
Jake Fugelnest.
Yeah.
Molly Shannon.
She's been on my show.
Rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Maron, who I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. He's been on my show.
He's going to be on. Chris Gethard. I guess he's a porno guy.
Mm-hmm. Gethard.
Yola Tango, and must be like a Latino dance troupe. Kevin Corrigan, don't know it. Oh, here's finally one that I do know. Paul Rudd, which is going to be great because I can't wait to ask him about the recording of Back in Black.
Paul Rudd. So you're going to have Paul Rudd, the actor, on, but you're confusing him with Phil Rudd, the drummer from AC/DC, if you're going to ask him about the recording of Back in Black.
Ugh, I was going to. Uh-huh. Who is he?
He's an actor. He's in the movie Ant-Man.
These actors.
Yeah?
I tell you, man. I get enough of them after like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Me.
Then you had enough?
Yeah, I've had enough. Yeah. Oof. But I tell you, I wish my producer Mort would get me some of my favorite porn people, you know, and that's something I can really talk about. I'd love to get Dr. Phil on.
Dr. Phil, the advice guy?
Oh, no, you're thinking of that guy. Now, this guy's Dr. Phil. He spells it F-I-L-L.
Ew, that's disgusting.
Whoa.
Dr. Phil. Even Patton didn't like that one.
Yeah, dude.
He's the... Oh, I thought you liked Dr. Phil, Patton.
I Look, can we just talk off the air about it?
Sorry. Of course, yeah.
Okay, that's all right. That's off-air material for really, Ron and
okay. Really is.
You guys.
Oh, I think that's like a triple X show we could do. Patton and Ron's off-the-record erotic fair.
We could maybe do like a bonus midnight thing at Dante's in Portland because now the second Portland show is selling out like crazy.
Oh, great. So you do adding a third show.
Oh, that's, man. It's amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I can't believe, Ron, that you have just listed every single guest who was on my show in order that they were on my show. That was literally the order that they appeared on my show. And this is
really?
Yeah. And I'm pushed to the point right now. I came out here. I'm in Los Angeles. I came here because I've been working on trying to make the best show as kind of special as it can be. And then I come out here because I was working on this Chris Christie thing, talking to his PR firm that's setting up all these appearances for him to try to convince them to have him appear on the show for an interview. And then you snake it.
You think I scooped you, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, look, I can't be arguing about this trifle right now while Governor Christie is in my backyard gazebo studio, okay?
Wait, hold on. I'm not even, he's there now?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, and when did you get a backyard gazebo studio?
Ever since my podcast exploded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where I do the show. I'm in there right now, too.
Okay. Where's the governor?
Yeah, Governor Christie is he's in the soundproof part waiting for me to start the interview. And, I sit in the control room on the other side of the glass. And, you know, the interviewee is on the other side. And we wear headphones to hear each other. And it makes the sound quality totally amazeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this term?
Amazeballs?
Yeah, I love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't love it so much.
I love that. I also love when people say something is on point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love when people are described as being a badass.
Like, especially when they're not particularly, like, they're
a
not.
Badass.
Yeah, they're not uniquely tough in any capacity.
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh. But their friends call them a badass on social media.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you like.
Well, I love it. I wish somebody would do a movie about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Ron, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know why. So you called to rub this in my face then?
No, I didn't.
Wait, are you crying?
You gotta help me.
You're crying.
Ron.
Yes, you gotta help me.
Why? What?
I don't know what to ask Governor Christie.
Uh-huh.
I don't follow politics at all.
Yeah.
His PR person out in L.A., he saw how high my podcast is ranked, and he begged me to get him on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Another great thing of, yeah, it sounds completely fair because your thing is ranked. God knows how you get it ranked so high. You're clearly spiking it somehow. And I do all the, sure, I know all the facts about everything, could have done a pretty balanced and representative interview with the governor, but then of course you'd go get him to be on your show. I keep up on all this stuff. You know nothing about it. So it makes perfect sense that he's on your show.
Tom, please. I promise to do anything you ask of me if you help me come up with questions for Governor Christie. I mean, he's probably going to be elected president because he's so even-keeled and impossible to rile. And I'll make sure he's on your little show when he's elected president, okay? Please. Please. I literally don't know anything about him. Please, Tom. Baby brother, please.
Ugh, this is so disgusting.
Please.
Fine. Okay. Just stop crying. Oh, it's so so disturbing.
I don't want any of this when we're on tour, dude. You just gotta pull it together, okay?
Okay.
Right. Tom, help him out.
Yeah, you'll tighten it up.
Yeah.
All right, Ron.
Man,
you're gonna talk to the governor. ask him, for starters, ask him, like, what his favorite Bruce Springsteen album is. That'll loosen things up.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Okay. I'm going to start the interview. I'll have my headphone on one ear, and I'll have you in the other. Okay, so you'll only hear my end of this, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, President Chris, I'm sorry. That's wishful thinking, right? Okay, sir, we are rolling. Thank you so much for being on Brother Ron's Real the Best Show, and congratulations on your announcement today. If I could vote for you twice, I certainly would. Sir, what is your favorite album by New Jersey's own The Boss, Bruce Springsteen? Oh, A Born to Run Man. That is a great album, sir. I love that, too. What's that? Me? Oh, I love the one that has Cowboy Pete on it, which is Darkness and the Edge of Town.
Uh-huh. No, that's not the one that has Outlaw Pete on it, Ron.
Just give me another question.
What's that you would not... ask him, okay, ask him, ask him what his favorite New Jersey beach is.
Oh, Governor Christie, New Jersey is home to so many great beaches, and this being summer, which, if you had to pick one, is your favorite beach to hit for fun in the sun? Oh, yeah. Barnegat is great. Oh, Ship Bottom, yes. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Oh, I love Brigantine Castle. When I was a kid, I was very, very scared of that, yeah. Ocean City, sure, yeah. Cape May, yeah. Oh, Wildwood. I've never been to Seaside Heights. Oh, but I totally understand how you can't pick just one. No, it's a hard choice. What is that? Me? Oof. I'd say probably Ocean City. Yeah, I love Mac and Manco's Pizza. That's my favorite. I'll tell you, though, it was such a shame that they found that severed leg in that one pie last year, though. It really, really caused some havoc in their business there. Lost a lot of repeat customers, for sure.
Ron?
All right, give me another question. Yeah. Yes?
I'm actually texting you this next one because it's a little long, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to hit send now. Okay, just send it.
Governor Christie, you've been such a hero and champion to the people of New Jersey through your courageous actions during Hurricane Sandy and, of course, your tireless work on behalf of the state in general. And while I know that the citizens of America will love you as president, there has been some talk about whether the Bridgegate scandal will be a hurdle that you need to overcome before you can truly have a shot at the White House. What? Oh, my God. Oh, no. Sir, what are you doing?
Ron, what's going on?
Oh, my God.
What?
He's got this crazy look in his eyes. Sir, no!
Wait, what is it?
I've never seen anything like this. He's staring daggers at me. Literal daggers, Tom.
Are you okay?
No! Oh, my God. Sir, what are you doing? Sir, no! Oh, my God. Tommy's going crazy. Tom, call 911. Wait, what is the number? What is it?
911. What?
Oh, why did I pay better attention in emergency school? Oh, no.
Okay. No, you got it right.
Oh, no. Sir, please, no. No. Oh, my God. He's broken through. He's broken through. Oh, no, sir. Please, no.
He broke out of the booth?
Oh, my God. Tom, please help me.
Wait, what is that?
Governor! You're rabid!
Ron. Ron. Ron, that's not the actual governor, is it?
Oh, my God. No, sir. He's devouring my haunches! Oh, my God! No! I'm trying to get him off me! Oh, no!
Is there a horn?
Oh, there's... Well, oh, no!
Ron? Ron.
Yeah, this rabid half governor, half presidential candidate, one tenth part mutant party machine has two horns.
I think the line just went dead. Is the line dead? Oh, my God. My brother. I think he might have been devoured by Chris Christie.
Text Andy Kindler and see if he's free in the fall to do some shows.
Yeah, I think you have some openings.
Oh, boy. Anyone wants to open for me?
All right. You know what I want to do now, guys?
Let me guess.
You'll never guess. You'll never guess what
it's
I want to do.
Up. Oh, I gotta hear the new
You'll one. Never guess. It's coming up. All right, we're gonna turn this up.
20-year-old Frankie.
Oh.
He's married. He's got a kid. And he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. He's just trying to survive.
You don't get it, but you're laughing. That's what it's all about.
One self-lubricating catheter, one polished eyelet catheter, and a travel-size catheter.
Go home there.
But what if it starts up again?
Good. You can borrow my slicker!
I want to get it. Do you want to need it? I'm going to have it. Who's going to have it? Your lady needs to get it? You're going to give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I gotta get it when I'm on a picnic, and there it is. You know you wanna give it up. You gotta give it up.
Bird of prey, bird of prey, flying high, flying high.
So first question, right off the bat, saw it on Twitter yesterday. We shoot Clerks 3 in May, hit somebody shoot September through Christmas. In February, doing Moose Jaws, but after that, I Smell a Rat. Mall Rat sequel, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was the first time I said it. Yeah. That's what we're working on.
And so how far along is it in production, or is it just in early stages?
It's half a script right now, and we're pulling our loot together. I mean, we've got, you know, up until the beginning of 2016, so it feels like in, you know, by the time we get to May 2016, we're going to be shooting.
That is awesome news. You just made my morning, sir.
It was, it kind of came out of nowhere and was, you know, lately I've been doing this thing where I'm like, well, do you want to do what's good for your career, or do you just want to have fun? And so, you know, nobody's clamoring for a Mallrats sequel, but I would love to make one. It's been like 20 years, and I had a cool idea and a bunch of investors that were like, do it. So here we are, man.
Come on, now touch me, baby.
Are there nerds here tonight? Nerds! The nerdy things that we love, like nerds and power of nerds. Like, nerds make the shiny things that distract the mouth breathers. I love Harry Potter. I love fantasy and sci-fi and all that. All of it.
Tom Sharpling, who was the host of the program The Best Show on WFMU. People who are nostalgic for that show, we have a little clip.
Hey, how's that? It's Tom, yes? Are we on? We're good. Well, I didn't ask you. I'm good. You know I'm good. Let's just get this nightmare underway or over with? Where are we at? Under or over? Whose hair is this on the board? Did somebody bring a dog in here? Somebody shedding? The Shaggy DA in here? Best show.
And what made it a phenomenon? I'm not sure that that clip convinced me.
Our teacher teaches a stool.
So with my jacket scorched, I ended up sitting there looking like a little boy wearing his father's shirt. Next.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just gonna let it out. I love his laugh. You hate his laugh too? I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just gonna let it out. I love his laugh. You hate his laugh too? I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just gonna let it out. I love his laugh. You hate his laugh too? What about it? It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't. I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. You hate his laugh, too?
Eyes on the prize. That is hilarious.
It's the laugh, man. What about it? It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
Eyes on the prize. That is hilarious.
We want as many people as possible to be a part of this wonderful comeback by this amazing band. So for a $1 pledge, you will receive a 4-part download of the audio interviews with the Rascals conducted by myself and Dave Marsh. For $25, you will receive a digital high-def video download of the entire show. And that will be yours exclusively because it will be a long time before it ever gets released. If it ever gets released. And you will receive the audio interview as well. For a $50 pledge, you will receive an exclusive DVD and audio CD of the show. Again, long before it's ever released, if it's ever released. Plus the video download of the show and the audio interviews. The show is called Once Upon a Dream, so we're calling the $100 pledge the Dreamer's Pledge. Before the show begins, there will be a 270-degree projection of various 60s icons all over the walls and the scrim in front of the stage. And we will include your picture and name right alongside Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. And you receive the download of the show, the exclusive DVD and CD, and the audio interview.
I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Tell them you came and saw and looked into my eyes and saw the shadows of the guard receding, thoughts in time and out of season. The hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb in the calm calculus of reason. Then a car passes. Why does my mind circle around you? Why do planets wonder what it would be like to be you? All your soft, wild promises were words, birds endlessly in flight. Your dog is still lost in the frozen woods, or he would run to you. How can he run to you, lunging with blooded sickness on the snow? He's still sniffing gates and searching strangers for your smell, which he remembers very well. Is there a moon in your window? Is madness laughing? Can you still run down beach rocks dead below without him?
Oh, jeepers, creepers. How are you, Hatton?
Wrung out, man.
You're wrung out?
I needed that.
That beat you up?
Really did.
How are you, Lisa Jane Persky? Oh, my goodness, right?
If well, guys. If you're listening to us and you're hiking Runyon Canyon, you can take a seat right now, get your breath.
Yeah.
A lot of Runyon Canyon hikers, yeah. I think, listen to this show.
Yeah. Right? They all listen to it. Is that a thing? I don't know what to make fun of Runyon Canyon. I'm not from here. What do we laugh at?
Runyon Canyon is actually this nice little hike that's physically good. The thing that stinks about it is at the end, you reach this plateau that kind of overlooks the city, and you know that you're surrounded by all these people that in their head, they're at the apex moment of some music video of their life.
Uh-huh.
Whether I'm gonna conquer Hollywood and the helicopter is circling overhead and you're kind of I don't want to be part of this shot. I just wanted to hike. I don't want to be in this young actor who's going to be the next action star. The new Steven Seagal has done his hike.
But there are snakes to take care of those people.
Oh yeah.
Have you hiked it?
Yeah.
Jane Persky? How many times have you hiked it?
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
I'm not a hiker.
About the same.
I'm a hiker. It's very exposed.
Yeah. There's no shade.
What do you say? Yeah.
It's a giant bowl under the sun and you just beat. But luckily, people like me, because I'm just walking with my head down, mm-hmm. beaten down by life, I see the snakes coming. But these people with their heads up going, I'm going to conquer this. Bite, poison, dead.
Dog fights.
Yeah.
A lot of dog fights.
A lot of dog fights.
Like, hey, my dog's
entitled people
attacking
with,
this other
know.
Dog, or come see the dog fight.
Oh, no, not that.
Not that kind of
no.
dog.
No, I've also seen a lot of, but I have seen a lot of idiots angrily stomping down Runyon Canyon after getting halfway up with their pug, not realizing that the poor thing's going to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw a picture of the Bachelorette walking her pug in touch that week, so they figured they would go out with their pug. And they're torturing this animal up in Runyon Canyon.
Yeah, that's it. That's...
They should build a little dog graveyard halfway up Runyon Canyon for people that take their fashionable dogs it's like a graveyard, and then there's just like a box with a hammer, and you can just kill it and then put it in the graveyard.
I would be buried there.
Yeah, because you still got to get your Fitbit steps. Like I got to get my 10,000 steps. I'm sorry there.
You just found another gear to the depressing show that we've been doing. Whether it's talking about Mao or just burying everybody, or who would want to listen to this thing that's never going to end because I bought the equipment. I can't ever stop doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
You announce to the universe, hey, is there a way – see all the equipment that I bought? Mm-hmm. Can you torture me? Yeah. Can you make this torturous for me now that I've done this?
You know, it's funny because it was like, he's going to stop doing the show. He's stopping the best show. Now it's like – he's back doing the best show 14 years from now. He's still doing the best show. It's going to like loop around like five times.
Yeah.
The best show renaissance.
Yeah.
The best show's back after six bad years of it. He's got another wave like the David Letterman thing where it's just like, you know, David Letterman's interesting now. It's good. It's like, well, what? They're still doing a show every night. It just like there's that stretch where it's just like, I watch again. He's fiery now. And it's like
you'll be doing an interview for some online magazine and they'll go, you know, President Hardwick started off as a podcaster. Were you inspired by him?
Let me just say this.
When you were doing the
I know you guys all take your shots. Laugh it up.
President Hardwick.
Let me tell you this. I went to the movie premiere of Ant-Man last night. I went to Ant-Man. If the movie you've selected is Ant-Man, press 1 now. Right? If the movie you've selected is Nymphomaniac Volume 2, press 2 now. Like the most troubling movie phone. Is that still active? Is, like, movie phone active right now, or
didn't
did they
get shut? I think it got shut down.
They must have shut that down.
Yeah.
So I go to this premiere, right? And I'm having a good time. And then there's, like, then I'm talking to Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael. Mm-hmm. And then they're talking to Chris Hardwick. And then suddenly I did.
By the way, they're from How Did This Get Made? A very successful podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Huge live shows.
They pay for these
super popular.
Yeah, they pay for these microphones.
I thought I'd just mention that.
Yes. No, don't worry. So, yes, they're from a popular podcast. And they will also know when enough's enough. Guys, we're not going to – Paul Scheer's not going to suddenly be like – we're packing it in with How Did This Get Made. And now I'm going to go buy all the equipment and do How Did This Get Made in my house. I figured this Earwolf thing was pretty sweet, but I didn't own everything. Yeah. So I didn't feel like doing it on microphones I wasn't responsible for.
Could I sacrifice a room that I could raise a child in to do a podcast?
Yeah. So talking to him, and then Paul's talking to Chris Hardwick. So I did that thing I do because I'm – super tough, and I judge everybody and everything. I did that amazing thing where I somehow walked backwards while looking at him. It was like I hovered backwards. It was like I was on like a – it was like I rolled. It was almost like a cuckoo clock going back in.
A little glockenspiel?
I kind of did when the cuckoo clock – when it's done. Yeah. I went – the doors open. And I went back in, and then the doors closed like an absolute coward because I teased him on the show and then watched the movie, and the movie was great. Mm-hmm. And then we're at the party afterwards, and then somebody goes, hey, Tom. And it was Chris Hardwick, and Then I talked to him for about 15 minutes, and it was awesome. He was super, could not have been nicer. I said to him, you know I tease you on the show, but I'm just teasing. It's not anything beyond me just teasing the guy who won all of this.
But he could not be a nicer guy.
He's a super nice guy.
Thank God he won. Think of who could have won.
Me. I could have won. Well, there's one I can think of. Me. But other than that, look, if it's not me winning, it could be anybody winning. Could be that, right? Like, then it might as well be.
No, but you're not running for the office of podcaster. There's room for everyone.
No. Oh, you know what I'm running for the office of? I'm running for the office of when do I get handed more money
than
I hand others for this stuff.
I understand.
That's the office I'm running for.
Okay.
But seriously, he was super, super sweet, and I'm not going to stand for it anymore, what you guys are up to. Somebody clearly hacked into the soundboard and played. I deleted those clips. I don't know who did that. But I'll tease him. The guy won. Points. He knows the points thing's funny. He must know it's funny on some level because he's got to say the same thing every thing. It's just like any catchphrase is stupid after a while, after a point, right?
Mm. You okay?
I am okay. I'm doing all right. So
you just did your own collage right there.
I did.
Put that in the collage next week.
Somebody will cut that up, and 10 years from now they'll be doing the collage from that guy who shot himself on the water tower. I'm the guy go up on a water tower and I shoot myself.
There you go.
Not even like from the perfect vantage point.
No, you climb a water tower to turn a sniper rifle on yourself.
Look at these ants down there. They all look like ants. Now I'm going to do the only thing I can do. Shoot myself.
Look at all these ants that are more successful than me. Bang.
Yeah. Stupid ants.
All these ants with their option deals.
Yes. Option deal. Well, don't talk about option deals with Hayes. Doesn't know what any of those things are.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
He doesn't know anything. Hayes, you know who's here now? Lisa Jane Persky?
Who's here, Tom?
I'm here.
I'm excited.
Patton's here.
I'm excited to meet who's here.
And this is Hayes over there, Hayes Davenport.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
I'm great. Oh, it's such a thrill to be here and see a sound collage in person.
Yeah.
It's just really something.
Then we have Sean Clements is here. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Tom. Thanks. It's great to be here. And it was really hard to bite my tongue during the movie phone discussion. I think it still does exist, and it was invented by Andrew Jarecki, the creator of The Jinx.
Okay.
No kidding. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know he invented that.
It's blood money.
That's right.
So is he
they should get Durst to do the voice of movie phone. That would be
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
If you're calling about, burping. I killed them all. I killed them. Yeah. Oh, if you're calling about.
If you press 9, he confesses to everything. If you want to hear me confess, press 9.
If you're calling about Inside Out, you're a wimp. Why would you go see that? It's inside. Why do you want to know what's inside of someone's head? That should be private. When I killed those people, on the inside, I don't got no joy in my head. No joy. It's all fear and anger up there. Showtime's all right.
It sounds like he's seeing the movie.
he's watching the characters. That could be a good thing for that franchise, just going to different heads, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they do. There's a really cool sequence in the end where everyone she starts running into, they go into other people's heads, and it's really funny where you see what emotion is actually running things. So when they go into the cool kid's head, that is brilliant. That movie is so good.
I got to see it.
What would be in your head? What would be inside Tom's head? Joy, fear, sadness, disgust, and anger.
Like, I think I get a bum rap in the scheme of things. I'm a very positive person. I just know how good things can be,
which is why
I get sad.
Oh, so you would have a joy that was sad. Your joy would be oh, this could be so
be
much
fleeting.
Better.
My joy shows up and is just like...
comes by on like rollerblades.
Yeah, exactly. You're happy right now. You're happy right now, yeah. And I think I got to get going.
Bye.
The rest of you can cover this. The rest of you sort out the next...
Yeah.
You guys cover 2 months. I'll be back for... 15 yeah. minutes.
Your hate and sadness are just roided out. They're just these huge – they look like the Barbarian Brothers from DC Cab. They're just gigantic.
Yeah.
And they're just running the board.
Those guys. Directed by Joel Schumacher.
Oh, I thought he wrote it. Did he direct the DC Cab?
No. Did he direct it? I thought it was one of his first directing films.
Oh, check that out.
So you guys
– I'm going to look it up while you talk to them. Go ahead.
You do a podcast on this network.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge podcast, right? It's very successful.
Well, you know about how did this get made?
Yeah.
We bring in maybe
a 30th?
It's probably in the 30s is the fraction that we bring
about 1/30 of them.
I'm sorry. Joel Schumacher wrote and directed DC Cab.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's a terrific movie. Wow. I got to Sorry, anyway, didn't mean to interrupt.
You gotta reevaluate the oeuvre.
I really do, because I like that movie.
Batman and Robin, I remember seeing that in the theater and being like, it was like that point where it's like, if it wasn't so hot out, I would walk out of this movie. Like, I've walked out of movie. Look, but Hollywood Handbook is the name of your show, and it's super funny.
Thank
one
you.
Of my favorites.
But you love all Earwolf.
I just love shows. Well, I just go to the network. Well, that's what a network is. It vets.
Uh-huh.
God
that
forbid.
That is true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
God help anyone who just goes to iTunes is just like, what are these podcasts? Because like you go
surprise
there,
me.
Yeah. you see like a logo and you're just like when you start to know what these things are and then you go to iTunes and you see just a logo for a thing, you're just like, what is that? How does that exist at all? For like, and then you look. Wait, there's 200 episodes of it, and they keep doing it. And then you look, and it's like, wait, that's popular? No.
We spend a lot of time. I don't know if you do this, refreshing the iTunes top 200 in comedy. Of course, we would never sniff the. Just
no, in general,
all,
we don't
all
stand
categories.
A chance.
We would never appear in all categories, but that's how you really get a sense of what's popular.
Mm-hmm. You just keep hitting it.
Can be very
it shows that have been not existed for a year and a half.
Yes.
Recently.
Oh, the Bruno, the movie Bruno has a promotional podcast that's hovering around in this mid-70s.
Wow,
usually. We're sort of at this point jockeying for a position with the Bruno promotional podcast.
It's like those ghost websites for movies. That they had for a while, then they're still they're there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody pulled the
back
plug
when out. They had websites for movies. Now it's all facebook.com/nymphomaniac.
I remember for years.
So you joined the fan page for Nymphomaniac Volume 2.
Literally up until the early aughts, way, way down on Washington, there was a movie poster on a bus stop forever for the movie Fled. I don't know if you remember, there was this movie called Fled.
Oh, yeah.
One of the Baldwin brothers.
Steven.
And I think. Yeah, Stephen Baldwin, and was it – who else was – was it not Cuba Gooding? Him and – but this poster was just on this little empty street. They – no one – like I just pictured there was this poster hanging company where someone's got to go down to Washington and get rid of the Fled post. It's been there for literally almost 8 years. I'm not driving down there. And it just stayed there forever, and then one day it was gone.
It's like the equivalent of like the mail carrier who's just like, all right, now you got to send all these circulars out. And he just like leaves the post office and then just like throws them in like, throws them in a river. He's like, sure, I'll deliver this. Sure. 80 pounds of paper. No, I'll deliver 80 pounds of junk mail. Sure, I'll.
No problem.
Lisa Jane Persky.
Yes.
When did you join acting, the field of acting? When did that happen?
In 1973. And I got somebody who lived in that building that I lived in came up to me and said that they'd written a play for me.
You mean the one with your landlord was Yoko Ono?
Yes, that's the one.
You've had the craziest life with this stuff.
This podcast thing, though, it reminded me of the early days of public access TV, where there used to be this very elderly lady doing interpretive dancing. That was her show.
Mm-hmm.
It was the elderly lady interpretive dancing show. But back then, there were only maybe five shows. So,
you know,
if you were trying to be cutting edge, you might run into her.
So you might run into the interpretive dance.
I'm sure
lady.
There's plenty of that now on. I haven't checked
on Feral
that out.
Audio. Feral Audio does a lot
seems
of that
like
stuff.
They would, they
wait,
would.
What's Feral Audio? Is that like the more we're the extreme?
They're the fringe, you know, where like Earwolf and Nerdist is afraid to really like go there.
Yeah,
I'll take that. You know, that criticism. It's true. Feral Audio will.
They'll go there.
Yes,
they go where we would never dare. Yeah.
Good to know.
So what's the first? So you were in where? You were in.
So the guy who was a playwright, an off Broadway playwright, lived in our building. He came up to me a couple days after I graduated from high school and said, "I've written a play for you." Actually, he said, "Darling, I've written a play for you." and so
wrong syllable to stress.
He wanted me to show up. So I showed up.
So you showed up and you did a play.
I did a play at La Mama.
Uh-huh.
Experimental theater on East 4th Street. It was called Grandmother is in the Strawberry Patch. And I played the world.
Stop. That sounds like a lie you would tell a policeman when he's like, "Where are you going?" "Well, I'm in a play." "Really?" "Yeah, it's called Grandmother's in the Strawberry Patch. Let me go."
Or it's like one of those things where you look around the room and you're just like, there's a picture of your grandmother. "What's the name of this play?" "Grandmother is in the..." And there's like strawberries on the table. "Strawberry." And then there's like a patch on a jacket. Patch. So what was in Grandmother's in the Strawberry Patch?
It was one of H.M. Catuccus's camps. That's what he called his plays. And I played the world's most perfect teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man playing the woman next door.
Okay.
And a lot of time was spent talking about how Formica looked almost like, you know, wood.
Okay.
The opening night, the playwright came running onto the stage and yelled at everyone because the lead actress couldn't remember her lines. And
so he was just losing it.
He lost it, and Tomato de Plenty from The Screamers years later came up to me and said, "Lisa, remember that play you did? I was there when Catuccus ran up on stage and I wanted to know, was that part of the play?"
The idea of the playwright.
It must have been hard for a while there in the early 70s to tell with all the experimental people. Like,
what was
how many
mistake?
People died in fires who were like, "Oh, yeah. Exactly. Oh, this is cool. He's saying get out of the fire. This is awesome, man."
Yeah. Like, there was a point last night I went back to my car after the movie, and then, like, there was, like, a fire alarm in the parking garage. And then I'm just like, it's all right. Ant-Man will save us. Like, I'm still like half stuck in the reality of a movie. It's like, there's nothing. You should have seen the stuff that just went on.
Yeah.
Like, this will sort itself. I was like, no, this is where you burn to death.
It's working.
Yeah. What does the Hollywood Handbook do? Like, is the podcast, do you review films? Do you talk to?
Oh, get ready for this.
How awkward this explanation is going to be.
No.
We give advice on Hollywood from the perspective of two people who have sort of been around the block. And Shelby Farrow at one point said that she had asked you if you wanted to be on it. But now this makes me feel like she was lying, which I always kind of suspected.
No, Shelby's cool. I'm sure my schedule was insane and I couldn't do it.
I'm just kidding. You know? That would have been a very weird decision for you at any time.
So you bring in people that have been here for a while and they go, "Let me tell you something, kid." Is it that kind of?
It's all a joke.
Yeah, we bring on our friends. We just...
It's very obnoxious.
We essentially try to recreate the worst conversation you've ever sat next to at the Hollywood Coffee Bean. As if it's us. And then we bring in our friends to talk about like how the real audition takes place in the waiting room or something like that. And what kind of power plays you should enforce on the other losers who are sitting there with you.
It's so funny. It's my favorite podcast now.
Tom, have you talked about how you were on the cover of the page one of the LA Times yesterday?
Yeah, okay. I heard that.
Wait,
I
what?
Was on the cover.
It's get right here. This. I have a copy.
Look at this.
It's an article about Wally Ferriston,
yeah,
the cue card gentleman for SNL and Seth Meyers.
But then we're on the cue card.
The cue card he's holding in the picture says, I want to bank.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Anna Kendrick. And I just picked this up organically. Uh-huh. I did not know that you were on the front page.
So you don't read you're not like a news junkie where you're just like, I read 8 papers a day. Remember there were those guys who would just be like Mort Saul would be just like, I read 15 newspapers a day. But it's like really, like just like, and they would just – you're overstating how much news you're consuming.
I remember that Sarah Palin read all of them.
Mm. All of them.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had a whole routine on that.
Oh, I did, yeah. I won't go into it now.
I thought you were setting you up, man. Come on.
Oh, no. To give you an idea of why Hollywood Handbook is so popular, like Hayes brought a visual thing for all of us to react to on the podcast.
There's a lot of reacting to print media. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of us saying what it says on our shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the first movie you did, Lisa? Sorry to sound so accusatory, but.
The first one that I did that anyone would know was The Great Santini.
I saw you. You were the sister.
Yeah.
My dad introduced me to that. Very awkward view.
Was your dad a Great Santini kind of guy? Or?
Not really. It made him look pretty good.
I see.
You know, maybe that was the idea.
Yeah. Exactly. There are you guys watch this and then you look at me after it.
Yeah, well, you have that great scene where you're tormenting Robert Duvall about dating this. Like,
yes, it's so politically incorrect.
Today that would be the think pieces it would launch. But it's a terrific scene. Yeah, you do that.
That was
great
a lot
scene
of fun.
Duvall, that's amazing.
So, you know, Matthew McConaughey, I've noticed he does that Duvall thing with his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that? Where he sticks out his tongue. He even does it in the commercials.
Really?
Does that Duvall thing.
What commercials is he doing?
Lincoln.
Oh, I think that Robert Duvall.
No,
was
not Duvall.
I was trying to picture he'd be doing.
What would
with
he
the
be doing?
Catheter commercial. It's boo. Right, suddenly it's like, hi, I'm Robert Duvall. Yep.
Yep.
He's very athletic.
I'm here.
Was he always working out back then on set?
He's a total jock.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I remember thinking, you know, I just learned a lot about actors because I just thought, you know, he really gets to the meat of the role, right? But he's like a, you know, he's a dancer, he's a tennis player, he's just one of those really jock guys.
Came through in The Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You could tell.
Yeah.
He seems like one of the guys who would wear like. Remember how like Sid Caesar started wearing those really tight, polo shirts, just to try to convince everybody how like he's like I'm 60 and I'm ripped.
Tony Curtis would do that at the end. He wore the tight black t-shirts. Yeah. Like, oh, dude.
Remember Tony Curtis on when he hosted Hollywood Babylon? Did you ever watch the syndicated show? It was one of my all time favorite shows. There was this show, Hollywood Babylon, and Tony Curtis would host. He would just shoot the intros. He clearly shot the entire season in a day. He'd just be like, Marilyn Monroe was such a special woman. And she had – he would be like – and he wore these like black strangler gloves so much. Like literally I'm going to strangle someone after this and I can't – is he trying to bring up like Boston Strangler? Like
one of my greatest performances as the Boston Strangler. And I appeared – and then I did Stony Curtis after that. The Flintstones.
Oh, God, that's right.
Did he do the voice for that, or was that just like the guy who did the...
Well, now I feel like looking it up. I don't know.
Remember the other Fred Flintstone? Like when the one guy either croaked or they just got some other guy to
that
be
was
like...
just such a throwaway.
Like, yeah.
Really? You guys...
Yeah, when they changed Bugs Bunny, when they changed Kermit the Frog, when they changed Fred
Darren Stevens.
Like, no, yeah, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's sick.
Did any of you guys see Danny Collins, that movie with Pacino?
No, I would love to know.
Okay, I think you should see it. I think you should see it, and we should all reconvene.
Okay.
Like right now?
I'm on it.
Go do it.
For sure.
I would see.
I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know if I could see that, though.
No, you can't.
He's wearing scarves, a lot of scarves.
Can, well, he's famous.
You can totally see
yeah,
it.
Yeah. He has that look to me. There's like a certain thing that famous people do when they walk into a room where a guy like that walks in with sunglasses on, holding a cup of coffee when they like come in slowly as if they're just like, what's going on here? Like they're just taking it. Like I'm just here with my coffee and I'm just – so everybody's like working around and they come in and they just like survey the room. Like they're just, it's like an attempt to look so casual that's so affected with just like, I just grabbed my coffee and I swung by to see what's going on at, in the production office. Oh, everybody's working. It's like, and they know everybody's looking at them. Just me casually with my coffee. Oh, it drives me up the wall, right? Right,
I knew someone who was in a Best Buy commercial with him, which proves, I think, your theory that he really fully commit, like in Jack and Jill, he just like fully.
I stand by his performance in Jack and Jill.
He just gives it his all every time he goes out there.
He was just like, he did not look at that any differently than like, and Justice for All.
Yeah.
Like he's just like,
same intensity.
I'm here to work. I'm going to work.
So he did a Best Buy commercial in the UK.
Okay.
And this woman was like a Geek Squad person who was helping him fix his computer or something. And he took her aside during a break to give her a note. He wasn't like happy with like how it was going. And he's like, you know, I think your character, she should really care about doing a good job.
So he just,
you know what I mean?
So,
well, I can't find Tony. I can't find Tony Curtis
I'm Mr.
in Flintstones. However, I do. He is on an Electric Light Orchestra Out of the Blue tour live at Wembley, and he introduces them at Wembley Stadium, like in 1978. So what was the? So it's ELO guys. We're in Wembley. I mean, who? Just first thing that comes to your mind, introducing you. Oh, Tony Curtis would be the guy that we have go out there.
Sure. Let's fly him over. Let's fly Tony Curtis from Los Angeles for first class ticket. Super expensive 5-star hotel so that everyone in the audience can be like, I don't know what that – I'm here to – some old guy came out and said, ladies and gentlemen, Electric Light Orchestra. Then I saw what I paid to see.
What the
– Oswald!
Oh, Gary. Wow.
What up, bro?
How you doing, man?
Oh, JP!
Gary, I've missed you.
What's up?
You've gotten involved in that big time Hollywood thing, haven't you?
What's up? What's up?
How you doing?
What's up? Butt frogs. It's the butt frogs.
The butt frogs.
What?
Do you know the butt frogs?
No.
Budweiser.
You know the little frogs that would croak? Oh. The Budweiser thing? It was a commercial.
What's up?
Are you friends with those guys?
I didn't say what's up.
Gary, are you barnstorming commercial auditions while you're out here?
I've been doing a few.
Oh.
Bombing.
Sorry.
I got nothing.
It's rough, isn't it?
No one cares.
I'm sorry.
Show business.
I know.
Just like AJ Benza said. Yeah. Ain't it a bitch?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Ain't it a bitch? It's a dog-eat-dog world.
It really is, Gary.
And I'm wearing milk bone underwear! This business isn't working. Came out here to audition.
Can you say the companies you've been auditioning for? Or was there an NDA? Sign any NDAs?
Signed a few NDAs. Yeah.
Okay. Can you give us some hints?
Sure.
Okay.
Not Dairy King, but Dairy.
Dairy
Queen.
Okay, Dairy Queen.
Oh, I didn't know they have commercials anymore, but.
I'm also working with the Sonic dudes.
What?
I thought I could be their buddy.
Hey guys, what's in that brownie blast? Give me a spoonful. What do I look like? The guy like dessert? Those guys are the new Abbott and Costello. Sonic.
Give me. Show me your commercial for Dairy Queen. Like, what was your? Did you have a line? Was it just an atmosphere read? What were you doing?
Yeah, it was like this. Who here wants Dairy Queen? Who likes ice cream? It's my phone. Hold on. Hello? Yeah? It's my agent.
Oh, okay.
Shut up. Hey, what? You what? Oh, no. He just got fired from Chipotle.
Oh, man.
I'm glad we're here for
my
you.
Aunt, Milt Gorman.
On the week that you're out here auditioning, he gets fired.
Five Star Entertainment. He used to work at a Chinese food place. I thought we were going places. At least he had limited health insurance.
So do you have to wear costumes to your auditions?
Oh, yeah. Is there a wardrobe? And
you don't do that. Mm. It's old showbiz.
Oh, really?
The headshot where I'm a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then a baby holding a giant lollipop. Who are these dudes? Who's that?
Hi, Gary. I'm Hayes. This is Sean.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, hi.
We have a podcast together. We know you do.
Oh, wow.
You
talk to a podcast.
You talk to a lot of Hollywood people.
Whoa, you guys have a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me brace myself. Okay. Now tell me more about your podcast. Let me guess. It's you two guys and you talk to other people.
It's like one-on-one. It's a lot of it is based on.
I'm starting a new podcast.
One-on-one.
Masterclass with Gary the Squirrel.
Would you talk to like acting students or?
Acting.
Uh-huh.
Or directing. Oh. Now this would be in the headphones, but here, like, picture, here, Patton.
Yeah.
I'm your headphones.
Okay.
Boom, dick-a-dook, dick-a-doom, dick-a-doom. This is in the middle. Boom, dick-a-dook. Acting. Directing. Writing. Editing. I'm going back and forth for everybody who don't know.
No,
just bouncing your headphones.
Yeah.
We'll pan that back and forth.
That's nice.
Masterclass. I'm right in the center. Masterclass with Gary the Squirrel. My first guest. Tony K! Get to the bottom of it. American History X 2. They're making the sequel. American History XXL. Get it?
I get it.
Edward Norton is a male stripper now. But he's got a swastika on him. You can't get jobs at the strip club. American History XXL! You get it, Lisa?
Yeah, I get it.
Did these two piles of driftwood get it?
Yeah, it's from Magic Mike XXL.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you got it. Good.
I have a pitch on another sequel.
Let's hear it.
It's American History XXX, and he and Vin Diesel team up to save the United States.
I like it.
Thanks. I wish I was more confident in it when I said it.
What about American History XXL X : State of the Union 2? We get Vin Diesel, Ice Cube, Channing Tatum, and all those other slices of beefcake. They strip their way into the White House.
Why are you auditioning for commercials? You should be in offices pitching these movies. Are you at any pitch meetings this week?
Yeah. What's it? First, I got my spec script. Nobody liked it.
Oh, well, what's it called?
It's an episode of Backstrom.
Yeah?
Yeah, and this one, Backstrom.
Yeah.
He goes to, get this, see if you can hang with this.
All right.
He goes to Scranton, Pennsylvania to solve the murder of Dwight Schrute! Why are you potting me down? They don't like it.
They didn't like it? Didn't get you any meetings for other shows?
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good... There's a lot of shows you could write... I mean, you could write for... Definitely write for True Detective.
Yeah.
Or Penny Dreadful.
What?
Penny Dreadful.
I'm not working with Hartnett.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry.
Periods.
Is there a story?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's not a period.
Hartnett?
No Hartnett?
Hartnett, yeah, your name. Yeah, your name, Hartnett.
Is there a story there?
He's good in that. I think he's good in that show. I don't know if there's any bad blood between you guys.
I saw that one movie of his. 40 Days and 40 Nights.
And?
That's what it seemed like when I saw it. I thought it was in real time. It didn't end.
Gary, I love you. I saw that punchline marching up La Cienega. No offense.
Yeah. Let's see if you can get the punchline to this hilarious joke.
Here we go.
Hold on. Due to a mix-up on Oscar night, I'm going to put you in this one.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Look, when you, this one's got too much teeth. You know this is just what we do.
I'm in the right? barrel. I'm you in the barrel. It. Go ahead.
Yeah. Locked and loaded.
Here we go.
Get ready.
I'm ready.
Due to a mix-up on Oscar night, Andy Milonakis, Kevin Smith, and Patton Oswalt are forced to share a private jet in order to make it to the ceremony in time. Once up in the air, Andy Milonakis says, I'm going to throw $1,000 bill at the window and make someone below very happy. Not to be outdone, Kevin Smith rips $1,000 bill in half and throws it out the window and says, I just made two people very happy. Not even noticing that dumb move, Patton Oswalt, star of what? He's a star of
Ratatouille. King of Queens.
Spence! Yep. What's up with that one guy?
Which guy?
Deke!
Oh, Deke. He,
Deke!
He's on The Leftovers now, I think.
He is?
And The Affair.
Yeah.
He's working.
You know who's not on The Leftovers?
Who?
Billy Gardell. You know why? Because there's none left. He doesn't know what that is. He doesn't know what a leftover is.
Oh, dear God.
That's Mike from Mike and Mo.
You want to finish the joke?
A lot of teeth.
Yeah.
You left that hanging.
So... Yeah, so they know you from King of Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you throw me a residual check?
If I ever got one,
that
I would.
That thing's on all the time.
I had a very bad agent, I'll put it that way.
That show.
I got the Don Wells deal on the King of Queens reruns.
You know what I do now?
Hmm?
I say, what time is it? Oh, it's 7:30 King of Queens. Because it's on all the time.
It is. It really is. It's the new MASH.
Yeah, this is the episode. I say, what time is it? Well, we're about 10 minutes into the episode where Doug buys an exercise bike. So, it's 7:10. What time is it? Well, there's 5 minutes left in the one where Carrie's fighting with her boss. So that means it's 8:55. I was watching an episode of King of Queens the other day.
Yeah?
The tape broke! All right, where was I?
Kevin Smith, Tora.
Kevin Smith, not to be outdone. This is all off the top of my head, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be outdone, Kevin Smith rips $1,000 bill in half, throws it out the window, says... I just made two people very happy. Not even noticing his dumb move. Patton Oswalt. We were here before. This is where it went off track. Yeah. But
right where we were, exactly. You just did a previously on this joke.
Patton Oswalt says, look, I'm going to throw $1,000 bills out the window with my King of Queens residuals and make a lot of people a little happier. At this point, the pilot, who's overheard all this bragging, can't stand it. He comes out and says, I think I'll throw all three of you out of the plane and make 250 million people happy. Get it? Get it?
No.
Yeah.
Let's go through the room. Get it?
I don't agree with it, but I do. I do get it.
Get it?
No.
You don't get it? Come on, Lisa.
Okay.
Get your hands.
Don't bite me. Don't bite me.
I don't bite.
I don't believe that.
Anybody hear about this new Austin Powers movie? What's up with that? Is there a script floating around?
I haven't. You want to get a read or something?
Yeah.
An audition? Who would you play in an Austin Powers movie?
That mini-me. Slap a bald wig on my head. Brent Troyer. Sorry, Vern. Let me make the call. I want to fire his ass. Yeah, Vern. Yeah, scared of the squirrel. I just lowballed you. Took your gig. So, and I'd say to him,
so Gary,
show business.
Are you?
Ain't it a bitch?
Are you the kind of squirrel that thinks they can play any role?
Sure.
You're not just restricted to squirrel roles.
No.
You could do anything.
Yep. Pretty good. Pretty good.
You could do like
the... You know that is?
Larry David.
Pretty good.
Wow, it felt like Larry David was in the room for a second.
Put me on Broadway in that role. Right? That'd be great. Jason Alexander has an unfortunate tumble. Who's going to fill in? We got a packed house. Rosie Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is in that show?
Who else is in that? That's a good question. I don't know.
Maria Conchita Alonso? No?
No?
Then I'm out there going pretty good. The show is pretty good. Curb! Curb!
Think they'll do another season of that?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah?
Curb!
What do you think of the new shows on HBO? Ballers and The Brink and...
Yeah.
You watching those?
Oh, yeah. Name them.
Ballers.
Yeah. It's Entourage for dumb people. If Entourage was too heady, don't worry. You have Ballers.
What about this new season of Orange is the New Black? Do you catch up on the Netflix shows? Are you on those?
Or
no.
Not I don't like Netflix.
Really?
Hulu!
What are you liking on
I
Hulu?
I heard you have a new show.
Yeah?
It's on Hulu minus!
Whoa, what? Wow.
It's too bad they just got rid of that plus.
It's still there. You just don't update your current version of Hulu. You still see Hulu Plus.
Just seemed out of the blue. Seemed very mean. Very aggressive.
It is a zinger. To be fair.
Yeah.
That line is actually from my Backstrom spec.
Failed to set the world on fire there?
Yeah. You know who really didn't like my Backstrom spec?
Let me guess. Rainn Wilson?
Yeah. He threw me out of his office.
Seems like rubbing it in.
Yeah.
To take it to him.
It really does seem like rubbing it in.
I didn't realize, apparently, it's bad form to write a spec script for a show that got canceled.
Where one of the other person's characters is murdered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the murder was pretty brutal. You know who did it? I'll tell you who did it.
Who ends up doing
Since
it?
It will be probably one of these blacklist scripts. Right?
Yeah.
Blacklist.
Mm-hmm.
You know who did it?
Who?
Oscar!
From The Office. Oh, God.
Yeah. You know who they think did it?
Who?
Kevin!
So, commercials, spec scripts, any voiceover stuff? Any?
Yeah, I'll do voiceover.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For like an animated thing or a product?
I'll do whatever pays. I'm like Trejo that way. If the check clears, I'm there. Trejo.
Yeah.
I was cast as his son on his sitcom, Trejo.
He had a sitcom called Trejo?
Yeah.
Was it single camera or multi camera?
They fired him. You know who they put in it?
Who?
Jim Gaffigan.
Oh my God.
Was the rest of the cast originally, like Adam Goldberg?
Like same his friend? Cast. The only one recast was Trejo. They almost called it Trejo with Jim Gaffigan. It would be him in his machete vest.
Oh, God.
I'm a stand-up.
Oh, really? Are you going to do any sets while you're in town?
No, he was a stand-up.
Oh, he was. Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That is true. He's a great stand-up.
Yeah, I'll do some sets. I'm going over to the Comedy Store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, now that Dane Cook got banned, he could probably get some spots.
Yeah.
No, he got banned from...
The Factory.
Laugh Factory.
The Factory. Yeah.
What are you, Laugh Factory guy or Comedy Store guy?
If Dan Cook worked at an actual factory that was a Laugh Factory, within 2 months he would have been brought in. His boss would have had to sit down with him. Yeah, we're doing a performance review here at this Laugh Factory. Your productivity is shockingly low at this factory where we make laughs. You are making the least amount of laughs of everyone working in this factory.
This is, I mean, just for his career. Yeah. I'm sorry, worried about Gary. And like, he's just making so many enemies.
Burning bridges!
Yeah.
Get ready for my Montreal roast! I'm gonna out roast Kindler! I'll do the roast. The recap show. Talking roast.
call it Time Isn't Kindler. That's the recap show.
I love it.
Oh, boy, that joke
sucked. Will you produce it? Will you produce it?
Sure. Absolutely.
That's what I need. Star power. Get your name on there. Will you be in it, Lisa?
Sure, I'd love to. I would jump at the opportunity.
What if we redo like some you did in the past?
I can't climb trees like...
Santini!
Like what?
The greater Santini.
The greater Santini. Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Which one was that again?
I'm in.
Is that the one with... No, that was Full Metal Jacket.
Wait a minute. How about you redo it and you call it The Great Santini? And it's Gary as Santini, but he's the Great Santini.
There you go. That has wings.
Yeah.
You're bouncing the little basketball off of
the acorn.
Head.
He's bopping
the acorn.
The acorn.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I'm bouncing the acorn off your head. Right? Yeah. Shape up or ship out. Did he say that in that movie?
Yeah, well, try this.
What we have here.
No, that's
Hud.
That's close.
No. It's Cool Hand Luke, but close.
It wasn't Hud.
Didn't you always go, "Halo, sports fans"?
Yeah,
or
Santini chews nails while other kids are sucking cotton candy.
Chews nails. Okay.
Try it.
What's that again?
A Santini chews nails while other kids are sucking cotton candy.
A Santini chews nails. While the other kids are sucking cotton candy.
There you go.
Hey, wow. That?
Good, right?
That was intense. That was intense.
You're scared it's going to bounce a basketball off your head.
I was a little worried
what
there.
What we got here?
Oh Lord!
What is your problem, Private Pyle? Wait, that's the wrong thing.
That's again other.
Good morning, Vietnam. No.
You're a little jumbled up there, Gary.
Oh, I didn't realize you were all here. Well, good evening. It's my one-man show.
Oh, okay.
When I wrote Huckleberry Finn,
you should save all this for this week. Look, when you're in these meetings.
Oh. Guys, I gotta go help Milt.
Oh.
Because he got fired from Chipotle.
Did you say bail?
I got to bail him out. Emotionally.
Okay.
Oh, I get it.
So what? How can you guys help me?
Staff!
I need to staff up!
Yeah.
Staff it!
You have
Alan Gregory!
You want to staff on Alan Gregory?
Yeah.
You like that show?
I do. I'm a rich kid. I'm a rich 8-year-old.
He may or may not have been a child genius.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't, but... You know, that wasn't really made clear on the show. Maybe you could have helped us crack that.
Should have punched it up. Instead of punching that up, they should have punched out whoever greenlit it. Yeah, we're going to do a punch out on this script. You mean a punch up? No, we're going to go punch out whoever greenlit this. Thoughts? Lisa?
No.
No?
No thoughts on that.
Maybe a new spec. What's the new, like, the thing that you should hotness? Do a spec on now?
What's the new hot show you should write for?
Boat!
Modern Family or what?
What?
Boat!
Boat?
Boat?
Boat!
Boat?
Fresh off the boat!
Oh!
Yes, do a boat spec. Ooh, ooh. That's right.
The voice on the Goldbergs!
Yeah, I do.
Get me in.
That's good.
You want to do
get
it?
Get me in.
A little. Maybe the kid gets a squirrel as a pet.
No, I mean to do a voice.
Oh.
He doesn't.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
You would do the voiceover on the Goldbergs.
You sit one out.
You'd be the grown-up kid.
How do you? Here's the one thing I want to know about you.
Go ahead.
Is that kid psychic or something? Because he's always like. Meanwhile, mom was in the middle of a thing. How does he know where his mother is?
Dude,
no!
Dude, please don't blow this gig for me.
Fair enough.
It's a good gig.
I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny show.
It's a good, you know what? It is a funny show.
Goldbergs! Gotta get that guy on there. Garland.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe he could produce your thing. He's always making stuff.
I'll do it.
Yep.
Cheese!
Just want someone to eat acorns
cheese
with.
Too.
Yes.
Just want someone to eat acorns with.
Acorns!
Dealing with Idiots, that was a new one.
Yeah.
Could have helped out with that.
Could have helped me. Hey, but this business, it's not called Show Friendship.
Nope, it sure isn't.
Not called Show Friendship. Don't I know it? Ain't it a bitch? Right, LJP?
Yes, right.
Maybe you should write a book.
Okay. About show business?
About my life growing up in the 70s.
Sure, we'd have to come do some interviews, you know.
No, just take your book, put my name
on
it.
Okay. What would you call it? This happened to me.
The 70s were nuts. What about that?
That's good. It's true. It's very good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little too on point.
And I'm exhausted by all you guys. Gary the Squirrel, out!
Bye!
Whoa, God, he runs away so fast.
Good heavens. These microphones are
That's amazing.
Fried now, right? We blew everything out.
Wow.
No? You managed the levels on that?
Yeah, I managed it.
See, you guys give him such a hard time on your show.
Engineer Brett?
Yeah.
Well, you see,
we're pushing him to achieve.
Yes. You see how good he is now?
Mm-hmm.
How well he managed the spiking situation there?
What you guys have done?
Yes.
Of all the engineers, who's the one that you guys have took from worst to first?
There's a new guy
named
Ryan who I think we're pretty impressed with. The other ones are pretty much a write-off situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm looking for Earwolf? I'll say this on your show. a woman or a minority in the engineer chair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I like it.
I've written Scott Aukerman a lot of letters.
Scott's a closet white power guy. He's never going to.
He's, yeah, starting with the engineers on Earwolf, and yes, and soon the entire world. He says that.
Just immediately when the mic's off.
Yes.
He launches right into it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, it's rough to be around.
It used to be Earwolf with a U.
You know what that's going to be? Somebody just got their little selected quote in Podmas. Somebody. Did you get that one, Todd? Todd Vander...
Vanderwerf.
Vanderwerf?
Todd Vanderwolf.
Todd Vanderwerf!
And that just got it. That just got this show taken off of
exactly.
Podmas
totally
for 6 months.
Yanked it right off.
You're in trouble.
Time out.
We're sending you to time out. I'm not going to write about your show.
I've met Todd. He's really nice.
They're all nice up
really
there.
Great.
Everybody's
nice
at AV Club. All one's better than the next.
Yeah.
Look,
I'm done with Chris Hardwick, so I got to slide to the next thing. Look out, AV Club. Here comes Tom. So anybody who's got audio of AV Club people talking, I'm going to need them in wave file form, so please. So... I think we should wrap this up. Did you have fun?
I agree.
Did you have fun?
Oh,
Lisa?
I always have such a good time.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So you're working on your book.
Yes.
It's going to have it done by September.
Yes, I have a piece coming out in the Pitchfork Review and probably it's issue number 7. I think.
What's it about?
About.
Can you say?
Yes, it is about. It's a day in the life of a protopunk, 1976.
Oh, cool. Nice. There you go.
So that and the book,
yeah,
that's keeping you busy. That's
it's
more
keeping
than
me
enough.
Very busy.
And Andy, your husband, Andy Zaks.
Andy Zaks, yes.
Who people know as the music geek.
The music geek
from Beat the Geeks.
Andy would like you to come to Idaho.
I know. I would like to go. That place sounds amazing.
What's in Idaho?
Well, there is a blue part of the state.
Uh-huh.
That's quite nice.
Oh, I had no idea.
And Adam West is there.
Really?
Yeah.
But, like, does the state use that for their tourism thing? We got Adam West.
No, just us. Oh. Only we do.
So, one of these days I'll be here and he can come do it.
There you go.
Yeah, I always seem to miss him.
He would love that.
Yes. Now, Patton Oswalt, you...
I'm just taking a summer break. I'm not doing anything.
But you've got your book is out. It's in hardcover now. Is it going to be
paperback? Book is in hardcover. It'll be in paperback in October, I believe.
Silver Screen Fiend.
Silver Screen Fiend.
Which is a great book.
Thank you.
I read it a long time ago. And
you
it
were
was,
really nice. Thank you. I'm really glad you liked that book.
No, it was great because it's about you. You found an angle by telling your story. Not like you found it like you're making stuff up. Like you're telling your story.
I found a way into telling it.
Yes. And it was like specifically you, but it was not – everybody can relate to the idea of getting obsessed with something. But it was your very specific version of getting obsessed. And there's that point when you just think, I will keep – watching all these movies,
right.
And then I will be like qualified to write and direct things.
Yes, and then it becomes a struggle for me to pull myself out of that world.
Yeah, because there is no that's like the person who stays in school for their entire
life,
getting ready for a job they actually have no interest in ever
They're
having.
Never going to do it. Yeah.
So the book is hardcover now,
mm-hmm.
paperback in the fall.
Yes, indeed.
But then you're laying low.
In October, I'll record a new special and album. But right now, I'm just doing little sets around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And raising a child.
And raising a child, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
Sure.
It really is. I know that there's nothing funny about really enjoying something that much, but it's really fun.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
It's amazing.
Sean Clements.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks.
Well, what's going on with you? What? Where can people find you? On Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter @SeanClements.
Okay.
You find me there. You listen to the podcast Hollywood Handbook.
Sure.
Still trying to cook up a good web series idea, you know? Always got the wheels spinning.
There you go.
I just... Because it seems like I just need a camera and some buddies, you know?
Yes.
That's the rocket's led to success. The web
scenes. Keyword being scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how Game of Thrones started. Just a little web
camera
series.
Camera and some buddies.
George R. R. Martin did it with an iPhone in his bedroom. That's how it
that's
started.
That's how he and his friends just hang out.
Just started. He would put different hats on and go, oh, I'm the princess. And,
those were good.
And there it is. Now it's a huge thing.
Took off.
The web series.
He's still the princess. People don't realize. People don't realize that's him.
CGI, man.
Hayes, Davenport.
Yeah.
What's going on? Where people can find you? Where now? They can also find you on the Hollywood Handbook podcast.
Yes, and you're going to be a guest coming up soon. I don't know if we can.
Sure, I'll do that.
It's a great show that I will eventually listen to.
Oh, you're going to. I've burned through almost all the episodes. In like 6 weeks, I've listened to. Not even 6 weeks. Yeah. Where it's like a month. I've listened to almost all the episodes.
I'm going to download it onto my iPhone right now. I'm going to subscribe. Hang on.
What's the one people can – which one do you recommend people starting with for people listening?
Should I start with the Obama one or work up to that?
You're not.
The Obama one is it's flat. Yeah,
He didn't play along. He didn't come to play. Oh, that sucks.
The Pauly Shore episode is one of my favorites. Great starting point.
A good way in. That one doesn't alienate any.
Subscribed.
There's a point when you're like, you keep saying like wheezing the juice. And then you say it wrong, and he honestly says to you, don't say it like a homo.
Yes, that's right. That happens to me. He's being recorded, he says, please don't say it like a homo.
Sorry, this is so unrelated, but a friend of mine went to a benefit for muscular dystrophy that was happening at the Laugh Factory. This is in the early 90s, and Pauly Shore was hosting it. It was connected to the MDA telethon. They would do those satellite shows, and I'm not kidding. Pauly Shore came out and said, thank y'all guys for coming out for this benefit for muscular dystrophy. Like, he said it in the weasel thing. That's the word to really hit on. Muscular dystrophy.
That one's no good. Yeah, that episode.
What's your favorite episode, Hayes?
The beginning is a fine starting point.
Sure.
But people, it's a novel. But if somebody's going to jump in for one, say you only have one shot at this.
Yeah.
Like that Lose Yourself song?
Oh, Ellie Kemper did it.
Ellie Kemper is funny.
Well, Kumail is funny.
Jake Fogelnest.
Kumail is a recent one, and he's
Kumail
great.
Is a really
he's
good one.
He's really good.
Please start with that.
Paul Scheer is good.
Andy Daly's a guest. Andy Daly's gold. Oh, and Shelby's on there.
Hilarious.
Shelby's done it a couple times. Both of those are good.
And Kumail, I would say, is the one to start with. Right. And if you like that, you'll kind of like the rest, because that one's very good.
It's only downhill after this one. You enjoyed that hour? There are slightly worse versions of this 85 more times.
I think I need.
No, I love all of them. Can't keep listening to it over and over. Start to lose my mind. It's scary. Well, because then people like listen to this show and then they're like, I listen to 4 episodes while playing video games. It's like, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm stuck in the voice of this thing all day long. Why would anybody want to be there that long? There's a reason why in the John Malkovich thing you got out after 40 minutes.
It's so good. 15 hours is the most I've mainlined at once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, could you imagine? I'm sorry.
In the car. What better thing is there to do?
Other things.
No, it's fantastic.
A song? You break it up with a song?
Well, there's songs on your show.
That is true.
Good music.
Why am I talking you out of listening to the show? I don't know why. Maybe that's
coming around. Pitch me on it.
Yeah, dazzle me.
I thought I liked it, but I've been wrong before.
So, everybody, thank you all for coming down. And thank you, Brett Morris, for engineering tonight. We can't thank you enough.
Thanks, man.
Yes.
I love it.
An expert job. And
Thank you to Earwolf for letting us do the show here. And I want you all to know that there's Sharpling and Worcester are playing live. We're going to be touring the West Coast. The end of August and beginning of September, we're doing four shows. We're doing Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Where in Seattle?
Seattle, we will be at Numo's.
Oh, that place. I love Numo's.
And then Portland, we will be at Doug Fir.
Nice.
And then
I saw Holly Golightly there. She was fantastic.
Oh, that's all. But when was that?
A few years ago. I checked into the Jupiter Hotel, and then I went down to the Doug Fir to get a drink, and mm-hmm. she was just like in a movie. You would walk into this bar, and like Holly Golightly just up on stage yeah. playing. I'm like, what? I was so happy. I couldn't believe it.
Well, the tradition of greatness will continue. Seattle is August 27th, Thursday, August 27th at Numo's. Saturday, August 29th in Portland, Oregon at the Doug Fir. Thursday, September 3rd, San Francisco, Great American Music Hall.
There you go.
And then Saturday, September 5th, we'll be in Los Angeles
Factory.
At the El Rey Theater.
At the Laugh Factory.
Yes. The Laugh Factory. We will do a 7-minute set.
Doing Dane Cook's old stuff.
4 a.m. Because
they need someone to do his bit.
People can check those dates out over at StereoLaughs. That's LAFFS.com/tour. You can buy your tickets there. And everybody should pick up AP Mike's song. He wrote a song and recorded a song. You get it on Bandcamp. It's his tribute to Sun Kil Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called Michael Perry. And the links are all over. You get the link on my Twitter. I have it up there. It's all over the place. And I want to tell you all about On the Way Out, my friends. What is there about the magical city of Las Vegas that I've had fun there? And it's been fun in a normal PG way. You go there, you do whatever you want. You make that place whatever you want it to be. And the way you do it correctly, you go to Vegas.com. It's a site that's run by people. They know what they're talking about. It's insiders. They live there. They work there. They even party there. They know what it's up. They hook you up with the deals. This is not some national thing. They know what the score is. They got deals on shows and tours and attractions, restaurants, VIP bottle service.
Mm.
Vegas.com has all of that stuff. Listeners have saved money, like $84 at the Bellagio, $90 at Caesars, $100 off at Cirque du Soleil. I could have used that. I saw that Beatles show. I bought the ticket at the window. I'm still trying to pay that thing off. You got to see that thing. Love Beatles thing. I'm telling you, that was the craziest thing I ever saw in my life. It's like watching, like, every minute they're coming so close to dying doing, like, Cirque du Soleil. Like, oh, they're bouncing 200 feet in the air. But then after, like, a half hour, you're like, still bouncing, still just as life-threatening. I'm a little numb to all of it right now, though. So Vegas.com, you go there. Everything is there. You get all those discounts. You click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You enter in my code, Thomas, T-O-M-S. You get an extra 10% off everything but air hotel packages. That's Vegas.com. Click on the microphone and get your extra savings by entering in the secret promo code, Tom S. Book today. And, we didn't even talk about Mad Max, Fury Road, which I was just, like, exhausted by. I saw it. I'm just like, everybody else was like, this is the greatest movie I ever saw. I was just so tired, like, it was like the circus. It was like Cirque du Soleil on cars.
I had to go buy the silver, you know, chrome spray paint. Right
I couldn't
away.
Handle that guitar guy either. I was just like, what?
That it was so funny.
I couldn't. I was just it was too many people spray painted white in the thing. And then somebody said to me, so kind of, are you sure you under? It's like understood it. The entire movie is. Let's drive that way. And then they stop and they're like, okay, we're going back. That's the entire plot of the movie. I understood it.
I was just tired, and it was fine. I was just tired by it.
Did you get the powerful feminist message?
Was that maybe what didn't?
Yeah, so that did that not really land for you? No, that the pretty women are worth saving, but the milk women you have to leave back at the city?
They're not just pretty. They are Victoria's Secret models.
Yes, beautiful. I'm sorry. Because one of those milk women was pretty.
And then, so, because somebody actually said, was like, I think that you might have had a hard time because there was like no, like, it was like not a lot of exposition in it, as if I'm just like, what is this thing with the steering? Why won't they explain the big rack of steering wheels? Why do they have all the steering wheels mounted on the thing? If I only had context for it, I'd love this. And I liked it. I was just exhausted by it. When it's just nonstop movement, that's not what I'm about, man.
I loved it so much, and I'm holding my tongue.
No, I loved it, too. I thought it was hilarious.
I'm in the minority here. I'm the one.
No, I know you are, and I'm being.
It's very funny.
And I didn't hate it. Uh-huh. I just didn't love it the way everybody else loves it. I think it just got too – everybody hyped it so much, and I went in the thing, and I watched it. And then the next day, I saw the Entourage movie, and I'm just like, I think I had a better time watching that thing.
Watching that pile of garbage.
Well, there was more exposition in that.
I need to rethink our friendship.
Have been a little more your speed.
Look, I'm sorry. Maybe you don't like the Entourage thing. You just need a little context.
Did you see the show?
Maybe you didn't see. You have to understand. Well, maybe you don't know why everybody cheered when Dom was on the screen. He was the fifth Entourage member. He scared the other three.
Ari used to be his agent, you have that sort of.
Oh, boy.
The most unrealistic thing in that movie is people walking down Sunset just having conversations. I've never seen any normal person.
No one
walking
anywhere
near the Carney's railroad hot dog car. The final scene is them in front of that, boys, I'm back out of the thing. Why is Leonardo DiCaprio and Ari what's the real guy? Is Ari
Emanuel?
Ari Emanuel. Why am I looking in front of that hot dog train car, seeing the most powerful people in the world just talking out on the street in front of the
Must be going to either Saddle Ranch or Cabo Cantita. If they're at Carney. Which way were they? Yes, there's that Starbucks.
Or that cool 12-foot by 12-foot Starbucks.
I think there might be a vape shop. Be a cool spot to hit.
All right. I like the movie. Okay. I liked it just fine. Maybe I was a little logy when I saw it.
Okay.
I had just eaten a lot of mashed potatoes.
Before I saw it.
The theater I'm at has Thanksgiving food.
Yeah. I tell you, don't go to Flicks and Mash. Yeah, that exactly. Chain.
Some people get high.
Yeah.
Some people carb up.
Some people get low.
Sure, I'm going to choose.
I don't like the Flicks and Mash chain, man. I think it's a bad idea.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I didn't mean to sound like I didn't.
I
called it. I said I think it's the best car chase I've ever seen, and somebody got really mad at me that was dismissive.
Yeah,
but I was like, I think that is what the movie is, right?
The director says it's a giant car chase. Yeah, it's a
great car chase.
Yeah,
there's a lot of B camera on YouTube.
A B camera.
Watching all the B rolls.
All right, guys. Thank you all for coming down, and we will be back in New Jersey next week. And thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.